and come up with one called sowing. When you give a lot of money, a lot of money will come to you. You haven't noticed you keep getting poorer and poorer. The more you sow around, that day you sowed, you walked home and it rained. Who has sowed money seed before? That day you walk home, it rained. Raise your hand. It's a real question I'm asking. You can't remember. You're going to pause and think. I'm going to give you a moment. You were somewhere. You took your transport plus more. Sowed it with a belief that it's magic. You walked home. It rained. Raise your hand like this. Instead, obey God. All this crazy sowing. One of our brothers long ago told us of how he sowed. He sowed while he was sowing. Right there as he was sowing, thieves were robbing him in his shop. They didn't even come with weapons. They used mouth and deceived this office girl. All sorts of deception has happened. All over Nigeria. Again, I only pity you small. If I pity you at all. You won't help your neighbor that is in need, but you know how to sow big seed. So your background of magic has not left you. Life magic. Just bring out 10,000 now. You see, there's a special anointing I carry. Do you notice no anointing is mentioned there concerning acknowledging? You didn't give me Galatians 5 or 6. Verse 6. Read it. Is this the same thing we just read in 1 Thessalonians? Read.
Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word must share in all good things with his instructor.
Is that the same thing we saw? In 1 Thessalonians 5, did he tell you to acknowledge those that preside over you and instruct you? You want witnesses? The Bible is clear. Do you know how many churches, local assemblies around the world, where the pastor would have been a much more anointed person? He would have been way more anointed. But he can't be because he's looking for money to meet his children's and family's needs. Because his church members give insufficient. So their pastor is poor. Do you know what happens when Levites lack? Have you read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah? The Bible says they leave the work of the temple and go to fields. They go and start looking for work. How many of you know that when you're out walking, busy, the sun is striking you, that it's not very conducive for spiritual revelation? You don't know. Do you know what happens when a servant of God sits in front of a Bible? I know. Be quiet. Especially a servant that instructs. That's a teacher. Heaven shifts down. Do you know what happens when they cannot do that? Apart from the grace of God and accumulated stores. Now, when that servant of God is out there walking from morning till 4, his boss shouted at him 3 times because of an oversight. He was sent to Okwiboku to go and get something from the other office. He's running up and down while he's a servant of God on top. But he's also a civil servant, hustling for his pension. Hey, and what do you say you expect from him again? He has borne the heat of this day in the sun. Then he comes and he's supposed to come and, little lambs, how are you? Lambs of God, sheep of God, how are you? and rub your head and sit down and gently attend to the flock. When? With which energy? Why is he dozing off? Why is he leaning on me? Am I a pillow? Am I a pillow? You see, you have distorted reality. He told you, provide for those who instruct you. You said, no, I'll provide for those who are online. You see how that works? No. Send me a bank account number. Send me a bank account number. Let's send to these ministries. No, these ministries are really impactful. Do you think God knew? He said, provide for those who instruct teaching. And he explained it elsewhere. He said, not this. The other one we opened the other time. That you should give double honor, especially to those who labor in the word and teaching. I'm giving you three witnesses today, three different passages. He's making the same point, that those who instruct, instruction is line upon line. That is those who carry you through like a teacher, level by level. That's typically your pastors. Those who care for you, who show you things. That's 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders who lead effectively. Please, elders means pastors. Please, the word is the word. Presbyteros, episcopos. Those are the words used throughout the Bible for the leaders in church. So the eldership of this church are the leaders in this church. Elders who lead effectively. Did you see? What's the word in 1 Thessalonians 5? Diligently. Are worthy of what?
Double honor.
And I showed you what honor means in Matthew 15. That the Lord Jesus said, you honor your parents by giving to them, by supporting them when they are old and cannot walk well and you are of age. And he said, don't take that money and give it to the temple. Jesus said it directly. I've given you the passage. You were not here. Matthew 15, go and read it. Jesus was very direct. He said that they were making the word of God useless. The Pharisees, scribes. He said, it is those who lead effectively that you're to honor. He didn't say you shouldn't give Christian leaders. He said, those who lead effectively. Lead who? Lead who? The whole body of Christ. Who do they lead? Your neighbor. They lead you. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul as those who must give account. Go back. 1 Timothy 5. 17. Elders who lead effectively are worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. He's very specific. He said, acknowledge them for their work's sake. He points out again, work, diligent work, work hard. He is clear. How can you possibly know a preacher works hard if it's impossible to know when they work hard? Tell me how you can know a teacher, a preacher is working hard. Talk now. Raise your hand. Answer questions. Huh? Are you a lazy congregation? A hungry one? A hangry one?
By observing the fruit.
That's how you know they work hard. By observing the fruit. How else?
The lives of his congregation. Are they being transformed? Moving from sin to righteousness.
The fruit in the life of the congregation, are they being transformed? That's good. Yes. More hands.
By putting love, showing love, concern with all his heart.
He's working hard if he shows love with all his heart. That's heart matter. How do we know? I'm asking how you can know. The places we have read so far, do they seem to imply that you should know if the servant of the Lord is working hard? It seems to imply that you can know. Okay, it's either you tell me how you know they are lazy or how they work hard. Say one or the other. Yes. Raise your hand. The mic is by you.
You know, they work hard if the flock, in terms of shepherd and the sheep, if the flock is healthier.
Someone already said it. You're repeating what has been said. Speak. See, listen to me, all of you. Hey, look at me. I spoke many hands. Take another mic. Listen to me. For those that are not used to the church being a place for instruction, the church is for instruction. That's what it's for. The church is the pillar and the ground, foundation of truth. It is where you learn truth. This was always meant to be normal. This is how the early church was. This is how the church is meant to be. It's not a place for you to breeze in and receive blessings. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. That's part of what the church is for. A place for impartation, for the priest to bless. I've commanded, he's given us a command to bless. That is part of. That's like saying your child went to school to only learn ABC. Would you not be very angry if they only taught them ABC? By the time they get to primary 5, say your ABCs. Because they've been doing it since primary 1. A, B, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. Now they are rapping it. Because they have said ABC till. It's very annoying to think the church is a place where you go and do one thing. No, you're to learn mathematics too. No, you're going to learn all sorts of things. We start simple, and the higher it goes, it gets more complicated. Yes, no? That is what the church was to be for. You're supposed to increase line upon line. That's what the church is for. The church has not been accepted for what it is for as it should be. And this is most unfortunate. But I want you, even if this is your first time, to understand it. Don't look for churches where you play. Let's sing, let's dance, let's clap our hands. Bye. Hey, come back, put offering 4 times. Bye. The church is not a place for extortion. The church is not a place for deception. The church is not a place for entertainment. The church is a place for instruction, correction, rebukes, teaching. All scripture is given for this. 2 Timothy 3:16. If you have gotten everything you were meant to get from the church, do you know what you'll be? A good soldier of Christ. Remember, I'm still talking about military. You'll be a soldier. Why are you a bloody civilian? Literally. The only thing you have going for you is the blood of Jesus. That's all. That's all. That's all. Say, no, I'm under the blood. Jesus, the blood, the blood. You come across them every time. Empty. They say, are you born again? Yes, yes, yes. So why are you so afraid? When they say, learn how to fight. Spiritual jujitsu. Learn spiritual combat. No. Jesus has done it all. Why are you here? Go to Jesus. Who gave you my number? Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. You don't know his number? This is how you say it. Say J-E-S-U-S. Go. Why are you in front of me? I want to rest. Jesus had done it all. Jesus did not do anything all. Jesus began. He who began the good work where? In you. Did you hear began? Did you hear began? Do you understand English? Jesus has finished it. He said he began. You finished it. Pure Christian impatience. Classic impatience. Everything impatience. No. You don't need to do it again. Are you going to redo what God has done? He did not do. He began to do. You're a holy nation. You're to be a holy nation. He began the process of making you. You're a royal priesthood. Kings and priests. No, you are to be. God was speaking by faith because he speaks of things which are not as though they are. That's what that passage meant. You are a chosen generation. No, many are called, few are chosen. So, you see, you would like to interpret that now. I don't care what you're saying. That passage has said it. What did that passage say? That passage showed you God's desire, God's intention, God's pursuit. So we are taking instruction, and in church, you can't take instruction from just one person. Tell me how you know a diligent worker. You listen to the house speak. They have the Holy Spirit. Learn. So wherever you are, you go for youth service, you go to Mozambique. Learn to distinguish. This is a man of God that works hard. It's not just by their telling you. Already you've been told by observing the fruit of their labor. What's the quality of Christian they have produced? What kind of labor do you think went into producing such? Some people think it's numbers. In fact, most people think it's the size of the congregation. Can I explain that the size of the congregation that worships Coca-Cola, can I suggest that it's large? It's a matter of cash. The easiest way to gather a crowd is throw money in the air. You use money. The fastest way to get people to gather to is talk about money. Money is the biggest attractor of investment. You don't know? Huh? Ask MMM people. Ask Bitcoin. Anything. Anything that involves money. The fastest way to get a crowd. Promise them shiny things. A lot of it. Promise it strongly, hard, and then tell stories. They will come non-stop. They will come non-stop. Tell the stories. That prayer I prayed the other day and said God should give people surprise money. Let's insist that everybody that had money out of the blues, unexpected, testify. Give them time, 5 minutes each. Let them explain. Talk about it. Then watch the people that follow, the visitors that came. Watch how they will come back and invite people. That's why we will not take details of that testimony. That's why we won't. That, it was just maybe to convince one or two people that God can do anything. But that's why I never. Because you're going to attract a wrong crowd, a greedy crowd. You're going to show up. Huh? I heard in this place, the man prayed the next day, even as he was praying, so money was entering people's account, just right. Not miracle money. Money from people we know. I saw one video and they say one man said miracle money. Hi, people are wicked. They zoomed in on the phone. Who has seen this video? And even though they tried to cover it with the hand, that while the preacher said, who has seen any video like this? Should I just leave? The preacher stand said, miracle money, right now. Check your phone, check your phone. And they showed a lady in the crowd and they zoomed in and showed, I think how much, 400,000 naira had entered her phone. And this one, and that one, and this one. God, people are bloody. You know what they did? Yours truly, they took the picture of the woman. They zoomed into the name that transferred the 400,000 to her. It was her husband. He was there in the crowd. But her name here is her maiden name. They just brought out the picture, whether their wedding or from their website, they put the picture here. There's the man, the woman. Their husband and wife. So the man stood right there as they're talking and transferred money to his wife's account. And they took it and showed, and we're shouting in the crowd, woo! The other one was a screensaver. A screensaver. How do you know? Oh, because that same screen, as the person was analyzing it, he took his phone, clicked to the website that advertises the thing, the exact same amount. Something that you showed on TV and said, look at, they just sent this guy, whether $900, Meanwhile, that's the picture that pops up on that app whenever anybody opens it. And you lied. Had the mind to lie like that. They have exposed you. You're still talking. When they expose you, you still talk. And all over the body of Christ, say, listen, don't speak against men of God. Listen. To his own master, he stands or falls. What is a man of God? Nobody has agreed to answer me. I'll buy you lunch. Tell me now. I've been asking, how long? What is a man of God? Is it anything that calls itself a man of God? Are you a man of God because you call yourself a man of God? Huh? Are you a man of God? Yeah, woman of God. It's just to find a dog and use mark and write on his side, man of God, a white dog, maybe walking around. Well, if we buy a dog, I'll call him man of God. What is a man of God? Follow anybody. Say, well, all over the world, the Lord has people. All of them have a duty. Stop it. Satan has a duty. We know everything has a duty. But do not say that Jesus is Satan or Satan is Jesus. Distinguish it. Because there's a kingdom and we are in a kingdom and we are fighting. Now they fight. And we use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we clash. You're going to be telling that kind of lie. They've exposed you. You won't come and say, oh, sorry, you made a mistake. I thought the money entered. You just be shouting. This thing I'm saying is old. Old news like this. I'm just shocked at how you guys don't see anything. And me, I don't even know anything. I try to avoid. I don't like knowing things. These are things I stumble across. In between there, you see people argue, say, no, don't speak against him. What makes him... So his conduct should not be observed. His conduct is to be observed. If you admire such a person, you're a crooked person. When the day of judgment comes, God will judge you thoroughly. You're a wicked sinner, pretending. Then you have the audacity to stand and say, in Jesus' name. When you take those kinds of hands that tell lies like that and lay on people, what do you think you're doing? And you do it boldly. Unbelievers would be ashamed. Muslims would be ashamed to do what you're doing. You're doing it in Jesus' name. You call Jesus' name and told lies like that. You think you'll go scot-free. Because Jesus is dead, right? Jesus is not dead. So whoever you are, take note, you can still repent. Don't say you didn't hear. God will judge all wickedness. Don't convince yourself it won't happen. It will. Yes.
Okay. Another way to know is...
Very fast. Just say one sentence.
Time. How much of their time goes into the world?
How much time goes into the world? Is it to study or to dispense?
To study and to dispense. So
it's not the same. But it's correct. So the amount of time they're going to study in the word of God, that's hard work. Yes? Raise your hands if you raised it. Bring the mic. Just keep it up. Once he finishes, raise your hand and give it to you.
How much of their resources they put?
How much of their resource they put into the work of kingdom? That's diligent, okay? So come. I said you should raise your hand. If you raise your hand, they'll not come to you.
When they walk tirelessly to make sure that these people that are saved still stay on the path of righteousness.
Okay. Yes, so they stand. So yeah. How, if they help people continue, yes?
The kind of word of God that they bring.
The quality of the word of God. When someone comes back with beans, that half of it is beans, half is chaff. Wait. How many of you know that, ladies, I don't know about these men. How many of you know to find the best stuff, you spend longer in the market?
Yes.
That's what she just said. But you see, me, I said it better. Market. Person that enters market, the fringes of the market. How many of you know? Tell this man. Tell this man that they are suffer hurt. Men, tell the truth. Do you enter market? All the men that go deeper into the market, raise your hand. Is your mother that trained you? Put down your hand. How many of you stand by if they don't sell it outside your compound? If you even go to market, it's the fringe, the edge. Raise your hand. What are you entering side market for now? Now, let me be honest. Guys, well done. It's us. Now, listen. There are many females like this here, but I don't want to spoil their chances. So, let's not try this. No, they are here. They are here. Do you want to find out? They are here. Sisters, are they here or not? Good. So, let's not spoil market for you. As they get to the market, they stand here. How much? Give me three now. No. You should, okay. Keke? So, what is like from Keke? Okay. Listen to me, sisters. Proper wife material enters. You go to a fag. You go in. Someone has to have directed. You go in. Your feet get muddy. You get there. You find your customer. What you come out with is completely different from roadside. It's exactly the same with proper study and teaching of the word. You cannot find it on the fringes. I just saw it. It's just in Matthew 1, verse 1. Okay, is that all you read? There's this other part. I saw this other. It looks like it. No, you must enter market. I know it will take time and it's stressful. Flipping. 4 hours later. 3 weeks later. Then when you come out, 7 years later, you speak about anything. They know you entered market. Don't speak light things. I used to sit down. Have I told you how I hear preachers? As you're talking, it's like a computer program. Truth. It's like a... So as you're talking, this is years ago. This is not now. This is years ago. So as I'm listening to you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's either I'm in pain. And I'm not talking about opinions. It's labor. It's like manual labor. You're hearing your people outside. Oh! Ego! You're inside the room. I bet. You see, it's work. That's why I said, how is the guy going to go and work all day long in an office, civil service? Because you pay him 20,000 a month and also care for his family and be a good pastor, teacher. How is that meant to happen? Was he called? Well, possibly. God called him. So what's happening now? Why is the congregation like this? Oh, he couldn't trust the Lord to provide for him. When? 22 years ago. So he worked out an arrangement where he gave God some of his time. So now he's struggling on his own. He did not plant a thorough garden. He did not tend it. There's barely any fruit here. This happens to many. You look at them and you wonder, did God call this person? Why is it? Why is the work like this? Because he has not applied himself. Why? He was working for Babylon. Not in a bad way. He was working in an office to secure a pension. He couldn't trust. Couldn't trust. He knew very well God called him, but he couldn't trust God that much. His family, his parents, whom he loved so much, advised him, said, my child, listen to me. Take it from your parents. You always need something to fall back on. And instead of keeping quiet and going and saying, Father, forgive me for being double-minded, he said, yes, Mama, yes, Papa, I'll do what you say. In the process, you ignored what God said. So God cannot care for you. He didn't trust the Lord. Why do I say this thing? I wonder, is this a minister's conference? Yes, now. Our whole church is a ministry. Everybody's a minister. If they are truly here, if they've paid any attention to anything that has been said. And so many. Last Day Army preachers everywhere. I don't care what you're reading. You have entered. When they summon you, you know you've been summoned. I'm just trying to get you ready, even when you're ignorant. Your age, irrelevant. except you reject it completely. Other than that, the Lord will summon you. You know what the Bible means when it says your labor of love should not be in vain? A labor of love is never to be wasted. That's what I mean when you hear old preachers that are gone and their message is still hitting around the earth. And some people are forgotten. Many people that preach flaky gospel, they don't remember them. Those who preach sound doctrine, they stay. Long after they are dead, their voice is speaking. Speak the truth, but it is hard to find the truth. It is labor. If you will pay the price, you will know truth. And it will make you free. Yes, my brother.
So I would say studying the word and through discipline and the Holy
Spirit.
Discipline.
So hard work is shown through discipline and?
And by the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, okay?
Teaching it to the people and making it part of your life.
So the effort, thank you. The effort of teaching it to the people and practicing it, that's making part of your life, practicing it. That's a hard working servant of God. It's a hard working. I saw hands all over here. Yes.
Persecution. Not as a busybody.
Why do you have to go? Leave out some of these things now. Don't say everything. How do you know a man of God is a man of God? He's persecuted. Fine. Thank you. God bless you. And we want you to be happy here. I saw hands there. Have someone said what you want to say?
Okay. I think when those who are being taught are able to teach others what they are practicing.
So you know that the laborer in the midst was hardworking. If he passed the knowledge hard enough that they could pass it. Actually, Paul showed 4 generations. He said, the things which you have heard from me amongst many witnesses, teach to faithful men who in turn can teach others. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 3, even 4 generations. That's how God operates. If your communications will not pass on, if you thought in a way that it only went one level deep, I am sorry, you didn't work hard enough. I'm very serious. If you thought it in a way that it drenched the next person so thoroughly that it could pass and remain to pass, because as a practice, it fades. Oh, you have not read the book of Joshua. They were not even properly dead. These people were raping people like Sodom and Gomorrah. Raping men. In Benjamin. The Bible says the generation that knew Joshua and his warriors, they passed. Israel went amok. That's a function sometimes of how deep you passed. It's why I even tell our congregation here, you have to pass things on to the next generation. And I often feel very bad. Every time I have to tell them, I'll ask new people, have you heard this? They'll say no. Why have they not heard it? Now they should go listen to a message. But I mean some of the simpler things that are day to day. Even simple things like, do you have a timetable? Things like, in the earliest days, I began to teach our people, if you're a student, we would have an all-night meeting. I've stood all night. I mean, I've not slept at all. That was very common. And we had all night till 5:36. Then I'll sit down and say, let me teach you how to draw a timetable, how to manage your life as a student in detail. Arrange it like this, like this, like this. Calculate how many hours you have outside class. That is your reading time. This is your sleep time. I did all of that at least once, twice, thoroughly. And then I stopped because after some years, I said, you should teach it to the next. And if you're truly a member of this church, you hear, they will tell you, your disciple, your shepherd, have they taught you how to have a timetable? It's a very big difference when you have broken your life into hours. You think differently. Those were things God, I didn't even know it when I was a student. God taught me later, and I used to wish I knew these things. But that did not make me hold it back. I'll pass it. So it's not just that, it's those things I talked about in the first seminar. Those simple things. If you've passed across things, it makes for a wealthier, healthier, happier flock of God. When they don't know, they suffer through it. They suffer through. They may suffer all their life. simply because someone did not tell them. Who has ever been told something and you went, oh my God, I wish I knew these things? Why do more people not know things? As we're praying, yeah, in the morning, as we're worshiping and praying and doing warfare, at the time when I stopped, do you know why I stopped? Well, we went on for a very long time. But part of why, because part of what I got was, it's okay, stand up and go and do. Go and do. Go and do. I've heard you. How many times? You have prayed this prayer as many times. Go and do what I say. Among the things I got, not that it's the first time. So go and take all this thing about warfare, you're saying, teach us to fight. I've taught you tons. Go and take that content, condense it, put it in readable form. When I tell you, go and listen to messages. Some of you are trying, you're trying. You're doing well, some are not doing so well. Some of you are very slow, some of you do nothing. You just say, no, I only believe in fresh food. But almost everything I preach now is a fragment of what I've preached. Anything I preached before, the first day I preached it, I can assure you I took time. Now I mention in passing in 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And I tell you, go look for and listen. That's all I can do. Because there's too much. And there's not enough time. But specifically, if it is written out, extracted, and put in points number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of you know you can collect it faster? As opposed to listening to hours and hours of messages. So that was part of what I got. So I ended a bit abruptly. I went like, amen. Because go. Go and take the content and the many strategies for spiritual warfare I've given you. Reduce it to a readable format. Booklets, books. Let people read it. When you pick up a book and say, what are some of the ways that you can overcome the enemy in this time? What are the ways, warfare? When you say it's not only prayer, what are the other things for fighting? What is the armor of God? How do you put on the armor of God? What does that even mean? All those things we've taught on extensively. But it's so extensive, it's hard to receive. One reason why I need people, and I'm speaking as though it's only our church members here, why you must commit yourself to serving in the local assembly is so you can free up other people to help with these things. It's not possible to put these things together easily. It's so much. You have to free up people. If you refuse to, example, you can sweep the floor, but only the same people who teach you Bible study also come and sweep the floor for you to sit on. You see, you can't teach Bible study, but you can sweep the floor, can't you? So join the group that sweep the floor. Make yourself available and say, what can I do? Let them co-opt your services. Okay, every day before a meeting, come 1 hour ahead and clean up. Then they can stay and prepare a better sermon, or they can help compile content that you end up getting as a booklet and take and read. You can therefore sit down in 3 hours and finish a booklet that lays a foundation in your life for successful spiritual warfare personally. Do you understand? The ripple effect of all your choices are so powerful, you can't believe it. You wonder if you had swept the floor, not her. She would have gone to the market, not me. I would have sat down and written the book. But I went to the market because she was sweeping the floor and you were lying down on your bed at home. Did you see that ripple effect? For every liberty you provide for someone ahead of you, it should free them more to serve you. The greatest amongst you shall be your servant. But how? The apostles tried to serve bread and food. They misunderstood Jesus. Finally, reality. How many of you have read that story? Where the apostles were serving bread, serving food. They're carrying trays around, serving like that. Then finally they said, how many of you suspect that why they did that is because Jesus said, I've been amongst you as one that serves, when he washed their feet, not as one who rules over you. So they tried in the early church. They were constantly feeding all sorts of people physical food. Do you think it was in disobedience that they stopped and said, wait, 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 wait? See, that's how you learn the ways of God most times. when you stepped out to obey, then he tells you, that has happened to me so many times. And he's like, that's not what I meant. Or it's okay, you have done this. Get someone else to do this. I need you to do this. They were to serve them spiritual bread. They said, we can't spend our time serving tables. We must give ourselves to the study of the word of God and prayer. The ministry is the service. The word ministry there is service. The service of the word. That's what they were to serve. The word. Bible bread. But they thought they were to serve physical rice and bread. If you don't free up and take up responsibilities, you will not do this effectively. You do know God heard our prayers this morning. The worst thing you can do is what Christians like doing. After that, you say, thank you, Jesus. It was a lovely time, especially the morning side. Before evening came, we loved it. What does that even mean? That's empty talk. That's love that has no purpose. Like that brother said, or the other, he talked about love. Love is not talk. I love you, I love you, I love you. Will you marry me? Okay. You know I love you. Okay. You're waiting for him to prove it. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm hungry, oh. How many of you agree you do love? Love is done. Please, love me so much that you stand up. It's morning. Go and get work. So you can bring back the back bacon. Do you understand? The proof that you love me is not waking up in the morning, looking at you on the bed, saying, I love you. I just love you so much. That's why I'm very astonished at many females. Oh, yeah, I love you, I love you. So he's eat his tongue. What he's saying doesn't mean anything. The other one may not be able to say I love you, but very hardworking, coming and going, applying himself. Say, I don't love my husband. He's not even romantic. You have demons. Each romantic, if it's me, I'll go and print a banner, romance, and give you the small salt. You're not romantic. He's killing himself to provide for you and protect you and care for you and your babies. He's not romantic. You like flowers. Do you understand what I'm saying? May we have true understanding. Jesus is not a woman that has gone gaga. Jesus, if you tell him you are amazing or whatever you are, you're going to prove it by your actions. Is this clear? It is what you do that makes Jesus know you love him. It's not what you say. I hope this is clear.
So, continuous growth in the knowledge of the word of the Lord.
It's okay. I'm going to presume everything that can be said has been said. Continuous growth. The man of God should continually grow. How will you know if he's growing? Huh?
He'll bring you an old thing. He'll bring you an old.
He'll bring things both old and new. Yes, from the treasure. So he's still growing. So you'll be there. All of you, all these things here, you'll be marking the man of God. Poor man of God. But check him out. It's not a joke. Don't let them just pretend they're hardworking. So do you know some people think they're hardworking when they run and shout and sweat while the sermon is going on? How many of you know that's very limited? Send in your further contribution so we can add it to a list of things, ways to know that your man, send it to your shepherd. Questions, please. I'm going to be fast. I want to go. Throw more light on, not go, but I want to end this side. Please throw more light on Luke 17:21. The kingdom of God is within you. There's a message or two or three where I've thrown light on it. You're going to ask for it. You'll find it. But just in the meantime, if the word within there, better said, is among you. Jesus was with them and he said the kingdom is among you. Wherever the king is the kingdom. Do you understand? So the king was there in their midst. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus carried all of that. He was among them. The next thing he said in that passage is, but he will be within you. Did you open Luke 17? Verse 21? Nor will people say, look at it, for you see, the kingdom of God is in your midst. No. He said the kingdom of God is in your midst. If you go to John, don't bother, but just know he said this. He said, don't look for the kingdom of God with observation. Say, look here, that's not how it is. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Among you. I'm just realizing why this person asked the question. You're asking because I said that the kingdom is something you reach for. And it requires effort. Yes, through much hardship you enter the kingdom. The kingdom is revealed in three dimensions always. One is in your spirit. Another one you attain through fear and trembling. It's called the salvation of your soul. Another one is what your body, physical body, will experience. That's in the future when the kingdom of God rules over the whole earth. Why he said the Holy Spirit, how did he say it in Acts, in Romans chapter 10? He said that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Can you have righteousness now? Can you have it? Can you have peace? Can you have joy? So Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. In where?
The Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the kingdom within you, in your midst, in a dimension, but it's not the fullness of expression. Do you understand the difference between the fullness of expression of something? Have you seen someone eating meat before? You entered the kitchen, you just entered, you're very hungry or greedy, and there's pieces of meat, someone's plate, and you say, give me one piece now, you just put it in your mouth, start chewing while they are bringing your own food. Huh? Good, that's the kingdom you have. You have a taste. Hebrews 6 calls it tasting of the powers of the age to come. So there's a future age when there will be the fullness of the manifestation. Is this clear? All right. By the way, as we're answering this question, I hope you know from next week, Sunday, it's no more a joint service with everybody. It will only be, that's only for our church members. Don't bother if you're a visitor. And some of you that have been in for all this time, you're about to fall into schedule too. So enjoy. But next week, everything will be different. All right. Than how it has been for the past almost 1 month. You're going to default back to our normal routine. Yes. You said the kingdom of God will come on earth. What about other planets? Do you have relatives there? If I keep answering you, you'll not be happy. Let me leave you. You won't leave other planets. We have not saved Okuiboku. We have not led the people in Ikpa Road University to Jesus. You're talking about other planets. Who told you anything about other planets? Where did you get this? Did they call you? Will they be destroyed? What about people that will be in space on another planet? What kind of trouble making is this? My brother, because I doubt he's a sister, but he might be. Because the sisters of this day, they are not easy. Leave other planets alone. Jesus is coming to earth. Who told you what is in other planets? What is in other planets? You know things, though. Is that song? Did they actually say busybody? That's the only part I know. I just kept here in my head. I wonder what the interpretation is. Oga, face your side. Uche. Go, they got another planet. See us. We are struggling here too. What love? Face your side. Don't be annoying. Is there a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? No, there's no difference. Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. Luke calls it the kingdom of God. How can you prove it? Just go and look. Did he tell the same stories and started with the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like? Did that happen? Who has read it before? So what? You should know it's the same thing he's talking about. The only thing you may say, and I know where you're coming from, some preachers have said, oh, the kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of heaven. But that's not Bible language they are speaking. They are just speaking of something else. They are trying to say that the area God rules over, that is the kingdom of God, is bigger than just heaven. And I agree. But don't cause that kind of confusion. All that is necessary. Those are the kinds of things we used to do 20 years ago. Looking for Rema that... So, leave that thing. All right. Oh, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't have insight. Ta, go and sit down. I knew that your Rema 20 years ago. And we dropped it. There are things we knew. We just like, when you look at it, we're like, what are you causing confusion for? Just drop it. It's so unnecessary. It's not leading to unnecessary stress. Why? Because you can't even defend it. The kingdom of God is the domain over which God rules and is everything. The kingdom of heaven is a space. But the Bible says the kingdom of heaven refers to the area that God rules over. And he rules over everything, but he's going to rule in a specific way. A direct way, okay? In relation to this teaching on the kingdom of God, does this mean Jehovah's Witness teachings are true? No, the Bible's teachings are true. And I already told you when we talk about Jesus' disciple fellowship, that different groups pick portions of the truth and overemphasize it to the detriment of the others. Did you hear me say that? So Jehovah's Witnesses are the most accurate. No, the most vocal on certain aspects on the kingdom of God. And they are not. So look at what you asked. You asked if Jehovah's Witnesses' teachings are true. So you took an aspect, the kingdom of God dimension, and used it and suddenly made it. Is that the only thing Jehovah's Witnesses teach? Huh? Jehovah's Witnesses are cessationists. They don't believe in healing, in prophecy. So I should say they are true. They are wrong. They are not true. They are wrong in that area. When you miss the main things, example, how to give your life to Christ, you think it's how many people you preach to, you're in trouble. So what they say about the coming of the kingdom of earth, that part is true because it is true. How much light they have, I do not know. I haven't studied them enough, but I know enough from many years ago to know that a lot of what I believe with regards to the coming kingdom, they are the ones that have said it. I have preached it many times and called their names and said the Jehovah's Witnesses are correct in this area. That doesn't mean they are correct in, it's like that Jesus disciple. I told you they are correct in certain areas. But at the core, the error they carry of being the only door to Jesus is so serious, they are dangerous. Doesn't mean that the thing they brought out from the Bible is no more true. Do you understand?
Yes,
sir. If a native doctor holds a Bible and reads a portion, that portion of the Bible is still true. It doesn't matter who held it and read it. Is this clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I read the Jehovah's Witness magazine, which said the kingdom of God was established in 1940. I already addressed this thing now when I thought about calculations. I didn't want to get specific. Leave it. Satan was thrown to earth in 1914. Since the affairs of man changed, war started. Could this be true? I don't think so. Could it be true? You ask God. And if it's true, so what? That would be my question next. So if it's true, so what? Do you remember the weightier matters of the law are not the dates? It's righteousness, it's mercy, justice, and faithfulness. I've told you. Listen, again, I'm saying this presuming you're a visitor and you're new. I've studied a bit. I've read my Bible a lot. I've sat at the feet of the Lord for many years. I've received mercy. I have had the eyes of my understanding enlightened to know what's the hope of his calling. I've also read some books. I've avoided reading a lot. I have many books. I've grown up reading. I advise everybody that likes knowledge. I already did, but you may have not heard. I advise everybody that likes knowledge. Do you hear when I talked about forbidden knowledge? I have many good, righteous books, sound doctrine that I have not read. Why? Because when God is saying, show mercy to these three people, and you're saying, no, I don't have time to show you mercy. There's a book I bought that I must read. Do you understand my illustration? Must I explain everything? I have a choice of closing my door. I have enough authority to say nobody should disturb me, including my wife, and they won't disturb me. There are many books I want to read that I own, hundreds. I have not read them. Good Christian books. Why? Because the responsibility I have before me, God says, is show mercy to these three people. I have the choice of listening to her, again, resolving whatever issue they have, or reading this book and saying, if you like, kill yourself. Obedience is the strategy. So the way to fight is not to acquire this additional knowledge. Do you hear me? The way to fight is to drop this and attend to this. That's how I'm to fight. Now, a time may come where I'm supposed to face only this, which time I hope has come. Now, I'm giving an example from my life. This has gone on for years. I have the choice. But I have to attend to this thing. Now, when I stand here, you know the Holy Spirit is with me because you tell me what to say constantly. But if I was in disobedience, I would be in trouble. So if he says, attend to this, you say, no, I want to acquire knowledge. Let me be more specific. There are very many times I come. Yes, 99% of the time, I don't know what I'll preach before we start. But there's that 1% where I have a clue of what I'll preach. That 1%, I have the clue. If I had 1 hour or two or three to study it better, I would be very happy. But I'm compelled to attend to something else. Not because I believe the Lord would want me to attend to it. How does this apply to your question? If I spend my time trying to prove too much, find too many details, I will come across as more impressive. Yes? I'll come across as more impressive, but what about the mercy I was to show to that person? I sacrificed mercy for knowledge and to impress you. Is this clear? Should this be? I said all that to say this. Whether this is true or not, I don't think it's true. I know the World War started about then till about 1917. The First World War. That doesn't mean there are not many wars before. But if it is true, I don't think it is. I think their calendar is off. Don't bother. See, I'm trying to say it doesn't matter. Okay? I know what they said. I read it. I've read it years ago. I read it long, long, long ago. 15, 20 years ago. I have a clue. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is that if you live obediently, pay attention more to some of the things we are teaching here. We have a bit more accuracy in the things we are teaching now. I think you'll be fine. Stop reading Jehovah's Witness magazines, except you have nothing to do and you're in a vehicle. And that's the only reading material you have. Or you're reading about animals in their week and countries. The pictures are nice. Have you heard me? Don't go to them for too much theology, except, like I say, you have nothing else to read that is more useful. Okay? Have you heard me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying it's a sin to read, though. My mom used to say, that book should not be in this house. Me, I liked reading. So I said, what's wrong with that? I'll read it. But don't dwell on unnecessary calculations. You look like a fish at the end. Have you heard me? They look like fishes when they finish calculating, and it kept failing. Is there a problem if I only listen to your messages? I've been called rigid by others who think I should listen to other preachers. What's the answer to this? There's a time for everything. Have you heard that? I don't know any preacher that pushes people to read other people and listen to other people like me. I'm not saying they are not there. I say I don't know. Do you hear me? Who knows? A preacher that when he preaches, he says, I read this. You should go and read this. Yeah, you should listen to. Tell me. Talk 9 minutes. I'm serious. You know a preacher that when he preaches, constantly refer, instead of just saying it and sounding super spiritual, like he knows everything, I keep making references to people. I say, I heard so-and-so say this. I've just said it. Like most preachers, you know, they just say it as though they're born with the knowledge of all things. I'm not saying they are wrong. If they have learned it, I know very well that I've heard things from preachers. I heard two things. I've gone on to develop it into 25 things. That thing they said only two. I've studied the word. I read books, one page. I opened the first page like this, read and dropped it. My mind exploded. I got one key on the first page. Never got around to reading the rest of the book, but I've gone on to develop extensive insight. Just from one sentence, it's like a key. Opened me up into a room, but I didn't go on to explore this person's room. I got a key and opened my own room. And the Holy Spirit educated me on it. So I've done all of that. But you hear me say things like, oh, I once read. So I'm asking a question. The little I know about many preachers is that they don't say as much. They learn, they read from others. They read from others. Some they will now just. I heard Pastor Kumuyi say that when he started to see a lot of miracles, saw miracles and healings in his meetings. Who has heard it before? That he read T.L. Osborne. And he built faith. T.L. Osborne and who? I think he mentioned two preachers. Now, who else has heard him preach over the years? Have you? You may hear, you read it in the magazine. Christian women. Where is the one for men? Eh? Life did what? So Life magazine for John Church, Christian women only. I have a problem there. Why? Why should a woman get such good food? It's so bad that I used to read Christian Women's Mirror. I'm telling you, I mean, we read what we found. So when I was in with a relative of mine who attends Deeper Life, that's what I found. Whenever I'm in a place and this is a member, I'll say, be giving me a copy. Or make sure you give me a copy. Some of you men, have I let down men? Have I broken your hearts, men? You can't even crack a smile. You can't forgive. You won't write your own. So I will read it. I've told you I read everything. I used to read everything till I got too busy. You know. So it was Christian made me. I used to read it and wonder, where is the men's zone? So I managed with the women's zone. And they will refer to Life magazine too. And they will refer to what? Who are the people Pastor Kumuyi obviously read and listened to? If you don't know, you're embarrassing me. What did you read? C.H. Spurgeon. Charles and John Wesley. Is it not obvious? You didn't come across those names when you're reading those magazines. You're just reading and going. Or not reading at all. You can see his influences. You can see them in the writing. I don't know if when he preaches, he calls their names. But it was a pleasant surprise to say, oh, this is how I began to walk in healing and all that. But what I heard these people. So you learn from other servants of God. That's how it works, okay? Other people cook and you eat. All right. That's the truth. And I think one advantage I have is that I don't eat from many, as you think, but I've eaten from a lot. But from not as many, few. And I think God directed me. Because in a sense, and I've explained it at different times, the Holy Spirit more or less mentored me. I didn't really have human mentors as much as I would like. Like Paul said, I may have come across, my mentors were in books. I've called their names many times. This is the core people I read. This one, this one. These people. Then I didn't read many of the people or hear many of the preachers that are popular. I never sat at their feet. I believe the people God led me to were high quality teachers and of the word of God and prophets. Those major influences have shown in my ministry, teaching and prophetic. That's the foundation for true apostolic ministry. I'm not saying I knew any of that. But I do know God led me. You taste food. You can taste words like food. And God helped me quickly identify this is good food. How? The Bible. Then some food I tasted and I spat it out. Popular preachers. But I'm like, no, you're missing it. No, you're teaching people greed and calling it wealth. That's greed. And the proof. Look at the proof. Look at it. And all of them are running after money. So I will not follow you. I'm sorry. I can't. This other one, you're teaching people licentiousness, lawlessness, lawless behavior. That's not liberty. That's lawlessness. People that follow you will end up in fire. And truly, you know, again, these are things I'm speaking from the 90s, okay? When I'm talking, where many of you are is where I was in the 90s. Late 90s, 97, 98, 99, 2000. So at 20-something years ago, that's when my mind was in the mind. That's when I was asking these kinds of questions. These kinds of questions. What's the kingdom? That's when God was teaching me that. Therefore, I've had time not just to have an opinion. I've had time to observe the fruit. I've been able to watch people who believe and follow and go this way. I've seen them 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later. You know, and it's not just what you see, it's what you hear. So someone is part of that group, then you've had to counsel them and pray for forgiveness for them and the things they tell you. So it's more than one thing. It's not just what is written in the Bible. There's the fruit. You remember when you were speaking earlier, the fruit. I've had time to watch trees grow. I've heard things popular. Everybody's talking about it. And later on, it explodes in their face. I've had time to prove that patience is good. I've had time to prove that one something that seems attractive. Did you hear that example I said about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? So I've walked through those streets. I've walked through the streets of funny disputes and disagreements. I've had time to observe, and go like, no, now what's this? This is a waste of time. This is irrelevant. Now, this can happen. Time helps. Time helps. But even before time. So before, for me, was I read it in the Bible, but I didn't see anybody do it. Then I heard a preacher preach it. And confirm. I'm like, oh, wow. Then I now watch. Is it really true? What happened to she who did this and she who did not do? Okay, then 7 more examples each. Time has done that. And that's how you form proper opinions or convictions. You don't just form a conviction. So that's why I tell you, all of you have heard me say it 100 times. Don't believe something just because I say it, even though you should, if you're wise. Believe it because you have found it in the Word, and with time, God has proven it. Provided your heart is pure and your motives are sincere. If your heart is not pure and your motives are not sincere, everything will be confused. Things that were clear to me will not be clear to you because your heart, you can't be loving money or having schemes or living in immorality on the side. And see how I saw. You can't. Why? Because your immorality will defile your spiritual perception. Your love for money will defile your interpretation. I have friends. I listen to them. They know the word. All that. But as you're looking at it, you see it's defiled a bit. is defiled. Their interpretation is defiled. It's colored. Since they hold on to opinions regarding money that they can't drop, it colors this. I tell people the number one key. Do you want to be free of the love of money? I misfired. I did that thing, that affliction I have. Do you want to know the truth? Pure truth. You must be free of the love of money. You can't serve God and money. Money has passed through my hands. I've seen money. I know what, I could have a lot of money. I could. I'm not interested. For real. It's not acting. It's not all those things that people say. I'm contented with what Jesus gives me when he gives me. I live from day to day like I used to live when things were very, you could say, hard. But they weren't hard like that. I wasn't in pain. There was food to eat. I've said if the soup is watery, still soup. If the rice is bare, and that almost looks like a piece of fish. It almost looks like, you're not too sure. It is still food. It goes in and holds, secures you. Do you understand? If the shoe is torn, it's still a pair of shoes. Do you get? If the jacket has holes, it's still a jacket. Do you understand? So I know that. I also know what it means to have enough and not want to have and be giving out. I know what it means to say, no, don't give me. Don't bring, you should have brought, you want to do something, you have brought the money. I have things to do. But what do you bring this thing for? I know contentment. Whether I abase or I abound. These are the things to learn. Now, if you were taught something else and you're aspiring for wealth, for money, your education has been compromised. It is not at the feet of Jesus you got that education. That aspect of your education is going to defile the rest of your crop. How does the Bible say in Deuteronomy? He said, do not plant two seeds in one soil. So this one will not defile the other one. You're going to defile the crop. And that is what I've seen. Even with people I love. People that, oh, we used to love God back. But I see the money dimension is defiled. And those who don't know will say, eh, no, but if you keep thinking like that, you'll be poor in this life. And I'm very amused. No, let me tell you what you'll be. You'll be able to do great good. Oh, great good. While you bought land and built 10 houses. I'm housing 100 people. All the money that I should have bought to them, I did this other thing. So I'm a greater blessing on the earth. You are a lesser blessing. You have more, more, more. So someone comes and looks at you and says, look at how much of a blessing this person is. No, I did it again. Look at how blessed this person is. Why did you say they are blessed? Oh, they have a very big, fine house. Painted very lovely. Oh, the wall. Oh, cars. Oh. So that makes them blessed. Then you took your own and went and put 25 children in school. You started an orphanage. And then you live in a simple house and live normally. And then you say, classic confused Christianity. You say, this one is blessed. What is blessed about you? You have your reward. Or it finishes on earth. You see that guy? You see the other woman? In the future, you won't come near her. In the coming ages, you'll find out who is blessed. And if you're not careful at the first resurrection, you will not be called. You live for yourself. This other one will be called because they understand. So the consequences are quite serious, child of God. What you believe, the people you follow, the consequences are serious enough to make you lose the rapture. You're still a child of God. It's not correct to say people that are not born again. You'll be born again, but doesn't mean you partake in the first resurrection. I've taught you. I've shown you in the Bible. The leadership gets taken first. 1,000 years later, the rest. 1,000 years later. Revelations 20. Go and read it. So it's vital you understand that there's a price you pay for what you believe. So again, one of the reasons I said what I just said is this. I point people to other preachers constantly. We have a whole library of books. None of those books is written by me. We literally brought the books to the church hall and beg you to read it. Does that mean you may not at this time keep doing what you're doing? It doesn't. There's a time for everything. Can I repeat that? It is wisdom at this time for most of you to listen and be focused. There were times in my life where I focused on a particular teacher or preacher. I focused. I was just listening to them. Then there are times I have come to pass and I want to listen to them and I don't have the time. That season has passed. So I would advise you. A time comes. I've told you I've preached thousands of messages. I don't think I've listened to one full one or two. And that's really bad. I would really like to hear myself preach. Hear what I say. Because when I listen to it, I'm as blessed as you are. Since many of the things I say, I did not know it before I said it. The Holy Spirit inspired it on the spot. Linking scripture with scripture with scripture with scripture. I've stood many times and gone like, really? I would like to. But I haven't had the time or the privilege. But neither is it that's not God's primary will for my life. Okay? So, if that's what you're led to do, do it. But in between, you're hearing me call the name of other preachers. What's an advantage listening to me will give you? I take what I've learned from many others and present. And I don't hide where I got it from. And in it, you keep hearing me say, go and read this book. Go and do it. Now, you can obey and go and read them. If you say, no, I'll read it later. Okay. But I prefer you stopped and went and read what I say. If I mention a book while I'm preaching, I say, you should read it sometime. Okay, if I say, you should read it, then read it. Since the preacher himself told you to go and read this other preacher, obey it. But don't do it just to please the people that say you're rigid. Is that okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I've given you a robust answer. Don't do it just to please someone. Don't say, okay, I'm reading other people, I'm listening to other preachers, so you won't be angry with me. That's a ridiculous reason. That's called the fear of man. Don't do that. Don't do things that are for the sake. Do it because it's right. If the Lord is leading, you picked up a series, my series on Babylon versus Zion. You picked up the series on Come Out of Babylon. You picked up the series on Give Me. The Last Day's Deception. Each of those are long series. Others? Extra Oil for Dark Days. So these are a series of messages with some 20 messages, some 30, some 15, 10. Those are series. Then there's individual messages endlessly. Or if you go to a school of ministry, you get the series on spiritual warfare, you get the series on faith towards God, you get the apostolic Christological foundations. Each of those, there are hundreds of messages, about almost 200 or more. Teachings, very organized, the four focuses of the church, the seven, all sorts of things we have. Okay, now, what's the advantage you have if you got it from me? You know that I took what I learned from others, plus what the scriptures taught me, and I boiled it together and made a pie. That's an advantage. Plus a gift from God in the present, in the contemporary times. So I can look, oh, wonderful Kenneth Hagin, my first teacher, human mentor. But in the area of tithe, I slightly disagree. Not in a bad way. Even Kenneth Hagin said it himself later on. But in a way that says, it doesn't have to be exactly that. You can do it slightly different. And I've shown you why. From the Bible. Now you have a choice of going with it or saying, how can you know more than Kenneth Hagin? You can still look at people's person to decide, or you can go with scriptures that you are shown. So it is wisdom to go with what the Bible shows you. Is this clear? It is wisdom to go with what the scriptures, and I try to do that. I try to be very biblical. Another advantage to listening to me is that I often raise some of the arguments, the contrary positions. Do you notice I do that? But there are many things you read. They don't talk about a contrary position. They just state their side. The advantage of having heard more than one side to a thing is that you can compare, can contrast, and it pushes you to go and study the Bible better. So if you're reading so and so's book and he gives you, this is my interpretation, you think that's interpretation. How many of you, you heard a preacher, you heard something, and you understood this was interpretation. Then you came here and I dismantled it. Raise the hand properly. Good. Now, after I dismantled it, you went back and tried to dismantle my dismantling. And it refused to work. You're still working on trying to dismantle my dismantle. And it's not working. Do you know why it is so? Because I have considered all those your own positions. Remember the advantage of time. I've had a longer time. Let me tell you, the power of a sincere heart, you do not know. Do you know what a sincere heart is? A sincere heart is willing to be proven wrong. I told you I was in university, final year, after being in school for how long? And I used to go to my home church from school in Uyo here. And then I go and a Christian lecturer is talking about that people should attend the school church. That what on earth do they go to their home churches for when they are in school? Is it not the same God? Da, 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 da. In the distance and all that. Why travel? And I agree to the extent that your home church does not have any special addition. You know, there are a congregation like this. Our training focus is not even for this time. It's just for the last days. Like we are very dedicated to preparing people for the things that shall be. But at that time, I couldn't say I saw the huge advantage of being at my home church compared to here. Apart from more excitement, it was more exciting to be in my home church. The singing, the dancing, the giftings. But in terms of, this man said it once, Professor Asho, when we went as a fellowship group to go and greet him in our new executive. That was all. Immediately I stopped. I stopped going to my home church. Remember, I was in my fourth year. It wasn't final. I had a year. Or maybe it was the end. My point is, it doesn't take very... It's not hard to convince me if the evidence is in existence. Almost there's nothing I do. If I see a better this thing, I drop it and pick the better one. I don't drag. Many people are afflicted with the opposite spirit. They're like, how can I move like that? What will people think? I don't think very much about what people think. Thank God. So I'm encouraging you all. Don't be bothered much about what people think. Have a sincere heart. I had a sincere heart. That's what I had. My motives. I learned from Rick Joyner that in heaven, all you'll be judged about will be your motives. What was your motive when you did it? What was your reason inside your heart? That's all. 1998. I was reading The Final Quest. If you haven't read The Final Quest, read it. And I got up from there. I went like, Jesus, in this life, my heart, I will keep my motives pure. I will not have two motives. Crooked, you're thinking this one. You're planning this one. Your mouth is saying this one. Why you intend this one? Mm-mm. How to enter trouble with Almighty God. Be crooked. Like a snake. Be straight. What we see, let it be what is. What you are, be. Here, at home, on the staircase, inside the office, by 9 a.m. in the morning, by 11 p.m. at night, by 3 a.m., be the same. That's why when I'm here, you notice I don't preach, I talk. And because when I'm not here, I talk. I just speak. I don't have a preaching voice. Constantly. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a preaching voice. Man of God. I am saying that my heart is all that matters to me. Is this clear? Because God looks at my heart. Remember, yesterday, sees the heart. See, sees if you are saying, say to impress them. Say it if it's nice. Say, if I cared what people thought, we will be closing by one every Sunday. Not that I don't care about you, but you have to learn how to fast and pray. You must, because the days are coming when you know it. You don't know. The days are coming. I'm not saying you won't have food, but there will be days there will be no food. But there will be days there's food. You will not eat it. The food is there. There. Your life will be like mine or worse. Or better. Sorry. The food is there. You will not eat. No, no. You're praying for people till 1 a.m. People have pushed me into that place again. When I start seeing you people, I see you. You pray for people, it will be 3 a.m. The meeting starts. You think my meetings are long? My meeting is short. Your meetings will be 2-3 times the length. Normal. That is like normal. Normal. Everybody will know. You want to bet? You know, I bet in houses in the age to come. That's how I bet. We wager on one of your buildings in the coming age. So I won't collect money from you. Yes, let's bet. Make sure you have something in the age to come. Don't, if you know your future is not secure, don't even raise your hand here. But if you have a hope, at least you're working on being relevant in the coming age, feel free. One or two houses, let's do it. So in the days to come, some of you will be preachers. let me laugh. Some of you, when you come to visit, as you come to that, I'll be laughing. Like, we'll even talk. Now laugh. Now you go, they laugh. They look at you. Laughing. Why? Because you were an unbeliever. You like to be unbelievers. Say, no, I cannot see it happen. Are you the first that cannot see it happen? You're not the first. You won't be the last. Me, I see it happening. That's all that matters. And it will happen. Don't worry, it won't be boring. It will be the healing anointing. It's not that the people will keep coming. They will just won't stop. The best you do is sit down. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay, pass. Blind eyes, pass. He was lame. Bring him closer. Back, 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 back. Next. And the man wants to grab you and like rejoice with me. Like, I don't understand. I've been doing this since morning. Please back. Like that. They pass. Around 3, they will carry you. When you see this come to pass, bring your offering. Have you heard me? Don't worry. Don't bring offering before. Bring it after. Have you heard me? When you come, we will laugh together. Say hi, I watched you on TV. We will laugh, we'll be happy together. You say, please, can I hide in your house? I'll say, well, I'll ask the Lord. Maybe 2 days. Go back! Go back! When I told you, you didn't believe, especially because you didn't believe, go back. I'll tell everybody, I'll go online. I have here with me. Go back. I'm rich. Souls are perishing. That's why you were trained. That's why, again, I pity some of you that have no energy. You're so weak. So weak. I've told you when I was your age, if this meeting went on till 10 p.m., I wouldn't move. I'd be sitting at the front like this. So I don't, all of you, when I hear you, I wonder, see, be like me. I don't know if I should lay hands on your head. Because God needs to help you. In the spirit realm, some of you have a cup. Some of us, we have wells. If you see the size, why don't you have better? Because hunger, it's called hunger. Hunger. You should be hungry. I used to be offended when meetings end. Proper meetings though, and they're very rare. I couldn't find. So you have to travel. Go far. Go for a meeting. You're wondering, what is all this closing for? It's just 10. What are we closing for? There were no Kekes, now waka, you go waka for left. This generation. I know they're hungry. Be hungry for Jesus. because you will not always have him. I don't mean you won't have him in your heart, but you will not have what you have always. You won't. That's just a fact. These seasons will end. Yes. Yes. 2025 is almost here. You're here laughing. You don't know anything. You remember all that. Ow! Ow! It was true. Ow! We are helping you. Believe it now and act as though you're not sure when this door will open next. Always act like that. Be desperate in your soul. Because the days are coming. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you long for one of the days of the Son of Man and you not see it. How do I know? Prophecy? The Spirit of Truth? The days are coming on this earth, in this world. If they could impose COVID on you, what did not exist? America made COVID. Did I tell you? All this is out though. This is not secret. I'm not telling you secrets. It's just that you haven't heard. They outsourced SARS to Wuhan Institute. There's nothing about any fish in any fish market. It was outsourced directly. How do you know? Because it was published in medical journals. Openly. Open. It's available for all eyes to see the details of who paid for what. It wasn't secret. It wasn't an evil. It was open. They created that virus. How it leaked. That's where it's a bit uncertain. I don't know yet. So it leaked. They changed the story. They planned the story. They planned it thoroughly, changed it. All the educated people in this world with social media, you all believe a lie. They stopped treatments, even though they were treatments early. They stopped it. They burned down factories with the answers, with chloroquine. Did you not hear? Some of you don't know Jack. It was open, but you didn't know why. Why? Oh, because people needed to turn millions into billions. In some hospitals, people died within an hour to two of being injected. All of them, I'm talking only of America right now. They dropped dead. They were okay. Then they died. They said they had three major batches. One batch, people are perfectly healthy. Another batch, that's one quarter, two over four. They had issues of a certain kind. Then this other one, people were dying. Why? Because there's no inspection rules for the vaccine. None. So it's a matter of luck which batch they injected you from. Literally. What I've just told you, this is real. This is not rumor. This is not this and that and that. Did I post that thing on? Drop it on the hall. If you want it and you're a visitor, tell them to follow you. Watch it. Now, did I tell you years ago when this thing was happening that it's 409? Who was in this church? I didn't tell you that COVID, I didn't tell you it's 409. This is 3 years later. Everything has come out. CIA, FBI, all of them knew. National Intelligence, all they knew. They saw the document. They know who created. They knew everything. You still think you know anything? I've told you that this world. See, first. See, this is the truth. This is the truth. You see the rest, your physics, chemistry, biology, everything. Just pretend you know it's a lie, but you're just. How do I explain this? You know when your lecturer says the answer to this thing is Beethoven? Eh? But you know it's Bach. But your lecturer keeps saying Beethoven. How many of you know wisdom says you should write Beethoven? Huh? Or you want to prove yourself? Okay. This world is under the power of the wicked one and their law of lies. Have you heard me? God will help us. God will help us. God will help us.
Amen.
if you trust in his word. Human beings. All right, so my brother and my sister, whoever asked that question, listening to our messages is good. It's wisdom. You learn many things. That's what I think. You learn a diverse selection of things that I believe are relevant to your walk with God today. You learn how to be a disciple and all that. It's not undue emphasis on anything. It's a correct spread, and it's a collection of what has been collected from others, put together, blended like a smoothie. And it's smoothie form. It's not hard. I don't use big complex language. I don't go on not minding whether I understand or not. It matters to me. That's the pastoral inclination to carry along everyone and the teaching insights and understanding. And then we have the proper mix of the prophetic ministry and evangelistic grace as required. So you have the constant new blood, new people going, coming, all of that. So it's a bit of, I would say, health food, all right, that we serve here. I can say that with a good level of certainty. I would encourage you to also do what I say in those messages. When I say, read The Final Quest by Rejoiner. I don't just say it many times. I give you the books. I make it available. I tell you about it. So I think we've really gone out of our way. But if it's because someone said, do they say you should only listen? Tell them they don't. But at this time, I think this is needful. I have a lot to catch up with, so let me catch up with it. All right? We don't serve only bread and rice on our table. We serve many condiments. So why go look for condiments that are already there? Is that clear? Why look for fish when there's fish on the table? Why go to another table to get onions when there's onions here? Is this clear? Are Mormons also a cult? I think so. They are. I don't know what much to say about the Mormons. Just know that someone had a revelation. Was it really from God, from the angel Moroni? Did that really happen? What did he see? What he saw, he eventually used physical guns to fight, to defend himself, to do all of that. I don't know if that distorted. They have a shady future. I would suggest that you're careful. The Mormon, someone went to the Mormon temple. Two different stories. I think it's Kenneth Hagin. Yes? Who dropped dead? Him or his son? His son dropped as though he was dead. Bah. And I think God pointed out later, why did you come here? Another servant of God I heard from Zimbabwe many years ago, a white man. He said as he went there, he was leaving his car. The car locked and he was driving to go and have an accident. He couldn't drive. So he rebuked in Jesus' name. And then they think of all this when they visited the Mormon temple. So it's like there's some very powerful demonic forces in that place. Very powerful. So the Mormon Bible or the Mormon book, they esteem it more than the Bible. Not just as much. It transcends. That's a problem. That's a problem. All right. Mormons are rich. Mormons are, but it's believed that there's significant occultism going on under. And if it's true, God help us all. You shouldn't be in the Mormons. That's enough. Like, there's no reason you should be in it. Come and join us. What if some people, if you're not here, go somewhere else, I beg. I mean, don't be in the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. That's their full name. What if some people think Michael and his angels weakened the dragon before the angel came and bound him? They won't be sinning if they think it. Okay, they weakened him in chapter 12 and chapter 20. The angel, fine, no problem. That makes, I've never even thought of it. Can I adopt it? Not exactly, because I don't know the timing. But it's not wrong to think it. The problem is if you try to build doctrine on it, then you go around preaching, you know, before an angel can bind, Michael must first come. Then you start having problems. So don't form any weird thing. Have you heard? All right. On a matter of showing life, how many are left? Regarding life testimonies, what if you're in the midst of students sharing an abortion story? Is it all right? Because secondary school students can be extra. People are extra everywhere. I've wanted to have a meeting with some SS3 girls, but don't know what I would talk to them about. They are quite loud and do horrible things. What do I do? You're afraid of SS3 girls? I don't understand. People are terrible and horrible everywhere else. Young secondary school students cannot be the worst group of people. Elderly people in church are the worst group of people. Have you ever told something to a group of women your mother's age? What are you talking about? What about the men that may come out and cancel you for that thing you did 12 years ago? I beg, leave it. Secondary school girls' school. Secondary school girls. What are they? They are just girls. It depends on what happens. You want to share testimony about what God has done for you. Don't you know when you share it, even if it's only two people that live there and make decisions never to make that same mistake that you have helped? That means I should not share any story now. That means no preacher should be open. Don't you know people can weaponize, and they do weaponize everything that people say? Haba! When you're under the onslaught of the enemy, they weaponize everything. They'll say, which Bible school did he go to? We said it. They'll completely ignore your proving that many preachers they admire did not go to any Bible school. They won't care. Why? Because that's not the goal. That's like saying the Pharisees cared if Jesus rose from the dead. They didn't care. They had a goal. And that's to discredit Jesus. So it doesn't matter if he rose from the dead. They paid the people and said, tell a lie. That's how it works. So please, you are too full of you, whoever asked this question. God deliver you from you. Be free of you. What is all this? Ask God what to share and share it. If it's not this testimony, share something. Share whatever God leads you to. You are afraid. You have never done it before. Let me help you. When you haven't done something before, it's hard. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. The more you open your mouth and actually do it, say it. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. So form the habit of doing it. Is it okay? Is this okay? Open your mouth and share the truth repeatedly and consistently, and God will help you. The shame, you may feel it. Overcome the shame. Ignore the shame. Okay, that's how to say it. You overcome it by ignoring it. You will not be a servant of God if you cannot ignore things. Do you know how many things we feel and think? Haba. Galatians 1. You will not be a servant of God if you seek to please men. Verse 10. Am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? Read. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. What do you think would give me the boldness to keep human beings that came out by 10 o'clock till now? One reason. I don't work for you. That's the only. Other than that, where will I get the audacity from? How will I carry my face when I leave here? Do you understand me? Forget the signs, like last week, the rain, proving things and all that. Weather. Forget that one. I had to obey first before God did all those things to confirm that it's Him. Was it last Sunday? So whenever God gives a rain sign, that's just a little, maybe to convince a new generation. Other than that, I know. I knew before, or I guessed before. Then thereafter, after I proved it in 2016, 17, 19, then once or twice, a few times in the last year. He's not convincing me. It's you he's convincing. He's trying to let you know, no, truly, my servant speaks the truth. I am the one that restrained you guys. I don't want you. I want you to sit down and listen to him. You don't have to. That was just for you. That's not for me, because I was already convinced in 2016. So we thank God when he shows signs in the heavens like that to confirm something. But on the normal day to day, if you're going to make choices to do what God wants, haba, you're going to displease people now from your own wife, your own children. You're going to displease people. If everyone is happy with you while you're doing God's will, you are not doing God's will. It's not possible. Do you know Jesus' relatives and friends came to hold him and say that he has gone off his rocker? You have not read it before. They said he's beside himself. Jesus Christ. They came to take him away. Come, Kai. Maybe it's high fever. The Bible says so. Okay, I want to see it. Mark 3 verse 21. Read it. When his family heard about this. Heard about what? Go back so they understand context. He was so busy he couldn't eat. Look at it. Verse 20. Then Jesus went home.
And once he did.
Hold on. Look at me. Where do you think he went home from? A meeting.
Yes.
From a meeting. He went home. After the meeting, guess what happened? Once again, a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples could not even eat. Did I tell you here that some of you finish? Do you know when I eat sometimes when we finish a meeting? We finish like this. I can go on. I'll be on my feet like this. I can eat by 11 o'clock. Now, that has gone on for years. This is not once in a while. Mm-mm. So I could be in this condition till 11. That's when I'm sitting down to eat food. Now, you're not going to do that from what? Now, is it because of the number of millionaires we have here and the money we're raising? You can't do this one from this. You can't act. This one is not acting. He said, no. It really looks. You can't look in God's eyes. You're real or not. Now, why would you not eat for so long? Why would you push yourself that long? Because the Lord God Almighty knows things I have no idea of and you have no idea of. So when he says, see that person, see the next one, pray for this one say, can we meet tomorrow? And I want to say that. And I hear him say, no, don't send them away, pray for them now. And then you say, okay, it'll be a small prayer. Father God, what do you say is the problem? I ask for healing. The problem goes, Then goes on for 1 hour. You can dump them in the middle of their snake dance. Or you set them free completely. Now that's a choice. But it's a tough choice. Then you can make that choice. Have I told you before why preachers don't cast out demons? What? You don't know preachers don't? All those times you saw preachers pass people in program, the person went boom, fell down. Boom. You thought, never despise a pastor. You have no clue. A traveling preacher. Do you know how many times people have fallen just by my walking close to them? You think the falling is the walk? No, as they are falling, I just go like, Lord, God, okay. As I'm leaving there, I'm telling that person will need to be cleaned up. Let's look at sometime next week. That's a whole job. That is a job. That's why I don't like if I come near you, you start reacting. I typically remove my hand because I don't want to walk now. So the traveling preacher, like, phew, baka, phew, baka. They just showed you, either it's the Holy Ghost, it is the Holy Ghost, and you may have demons. You think the demon is all gone because you fell. No. That was just the presence. Now, it may not be a demon that made you fall, but many times there are demonic manifestations. They cried out with a loud voice. You in the crowd go, shy, power. Those who know, okay, labor. That person may not finish being cleaned up for 1 month. There may be 3, 4, 5 different sessions for 3 months, for 6 months. All sorts of other issues depending on their levels of bondage. Now that's where pastors come in. A true pastor is going to stay with that ship over the weeks and months. And years, I'm trying to be nice. We've been working on it for years. Years. That's hard work. Now, those who travel to dangerous places, that's hard work too, right? But I'm saying you can be a hard traveler and you can be a hard-working, you can be a hard-working traveling minister, you can be a hard-working stay-home minister. It's a choice. Most people never, most preachers do not do deliverance ministry of any sort because of how hard it is, how stressful, what it does to you. So they don't even start. They don't even want. They are happy like that. In fact, some look for something to say against it so they won't feel guilty. You didn't know that one. They'll speak against it because if they agree, it means they are guilty. It means their own flock is not properly taken care of. So they cannot keep quiet. They must bash. So what do they come up with? Jesus did it all. While the church member knows that there are other things. For real. How many of you were in a church that didn't believe in demons? Christians can have demon issues. Raise your hand. That's what I mean. You were in a group that did not believe. Do you believe now? Did they find it in you? Was it? I'm asking if later you found out there are things. How many of you, when you were in that place, you knew they were, this is not normal. You knew. And you were helpless. You were helpless. You knew. But you had to, every night, torment. All sorts of things. You know what some of these people used to see? You'd be in a room alone. Meanwhile, they are like seven. They are alone. The room is crowded. Then you are telling that person, demons are not real. Because pastor is not ready to, what he knew, what they taught him, deceived him in so-called Bible school. He's so damaged. Neither is he ready for the manual labor it will take. It will be too hard. The job of freeing you. What it will take. What will people think when they hear someone screaming from your church? Shouting, rolling on the ground. How can you look as respectable as you look and clean that up? So they would rather sacrifice you on the altar of their false doctrine. This is going on all over the body of Christ. Then when that church member sneaks and goes out, unfortunately, because you're already in prison, they end up going to one false prophet who goes and gives them two more demons. Your last state is worse than the first. God wants us to know that if you're truly going to do God's work, it will stress you. Now, what did his friends... Oh yeah, next verse, 21. He couldn't eat, he and his disciples. When his family heard about this, they went out to take custody of him, saying,
He's out of his mind.
Did you see that? They said he's what?
Out of his mind.
What does it mean to be out of your mind?
Smart.
Huh?
Smart.
Who were they talking about?
Jesus.
So Jesus had meetings that were so long and it didn't make sense. Yes? No?
Yes,
nobody has said I'm mad yet. Why did they think he was mad? Because he had non-stop meetings. Why did they think he was mad? What's mad about having non-stop meetings? I think he was really extreme. They didn't care about the miracles. They overlooked all that. They couldn't understand. What is he teaching? You know why you should read your Bible, right? So you stop having opinions that are not rooted in the truth. There's a prophecy a prophet saw many years ago, white man. He said he saw people having meetings. He called them nameless and faceless. He couldn't see their features. He didn't know who they were. I think they were male and female. He said he saw them. It was stadiums. He saw this vision so many times. And these preachers were preaching, walking around, preaching, healing the sick. Dead people were being raised. Preaching. People were repenting. The whole stadium in America. They're crying out, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He said, these preachers were on their feet for 3 days. They didn't eat. They didn't bathe. They didn't do anything. They never left that place. They were under the hand of God. Now you think you go from being a lazy 1 hour preacher to being used like that. How? If you were God, will you do it? No, don't bother. Your name will not come up on the list. God cannot use you. You're too lazy. That thing I said about preaching to people one-on-one, sharing your testimony. Many of you, you will not, you, no, I don't have time. Now I need to eat. It's almost six. That's my eating time. Listen to me. You will not be a very useful servant of God in this world if you don't suffer for it. There's a suffering required to bring people into the kingdom of God. Through hardship, you enter the kingdom. What do you think hardship is? You're going to push people into the kingdom. You push them in. Ah, you can't stop. Sorry, you guys. Sorry, I know we're almost there, but come down first from the ladder. Let me go and eat. Let's start again. No. Let me sleep small. You know, since... No, you're going to have to sometimes push things through. And what it takes to push it through, you don't decide. The Holy Spirit decides. How do you come to a place when you hear the Holy Spirit clearly enough to know when he says stop or continue? When you never listen to continue, it's fixed. I've told you, when this church started, again, phase 2 in 2016, I prayed, I said, God, don't keep away the older people. Keep them away. That's why we have very few older people. And they came later. Why did I ask God that? Because older people are the ones that immediately, you know, most of them are bigger than God by far. Have you met them? You haven't met older people that know God more than God. They know what God can do, can't do. They know God, for example, can never speak in tongues. They know there's no tongues. You haven't met them. It doesn't matter what you tell them, what sign, what wonder, what miracle, what dream, what revelation that came to pass. They will even carry you to go and be delivered from the ability to see the future. So I prayed. I said, God, keep them away. Not that I was that young. I was in middle age, but I asked God specifically for their sake, because I knew they wouldn't survive. And when the Spirit of God began to move left, right, and center, I wonder what would they have been doing? Some who came, they'll come, stay small, go. So God made sure they didn't stay. It's on the day they come, God will make sure the meeting is long, so they will not come back. So they will be unhappy. When time passed, then later some older people came around. And they met it as it was. God likes to call people young. You're young here. Don't have excuses. And don't serve mammon. Follow God when you're young. It's the time to be trained. It's when I was young that I started being trained. Then it becomes part of you. You grow with it. When you see big preachers, servants of God around the world, traveling, going around, preaching, doing all sorts of things everywhere, where do you think they get the energy from? Where do you think they learned? Do you think it's in their old age? No, it's from their youth that they began. They're willing to serve, to walk long distances, to pay a price. That imparted capacity, as they grow older, God keeps them for that purpose. He enables them because they have proven themselves faithful. But if you can't be faithful in little, what will you do with much? Yes. I was taught Proverbs 2:22 was that God made the rich and poor in terms of their bodies, not that he made them so. Okay? It's okay. That's an interpretation too. Emphasis was on God making all men both rich and poor. I know. Status was a product of their choices and labor. You're asking this question after I showed you Job, right? A man's gift. If I tell you that the word give there means bribe, what would you say? A man's bribe makes way for him. All right, so whoever asked this question, I agree that God makes human beings that end up being rich or poor. That's also an interpretation. But I have a greater problem with your question for this reason. You ignored the clear example of Job. I showed you how God made a man rich and made him poor. I didn't explain well enough when I talked about Jacob. I didn't point out do you know how God made Jacob rich? Do you know how God made Abraham rich? Have you ever studied riches? I studied riches around 1999, 2000. I picked the concordance and typed in the word rich and looked up everywhere it occurred. I was shocked at how much negativity God spoke about riches. And I could not understand because that was the heyday of prosperity preaching. Back then. from 2018-19, some things shifted. But late 90s, early 2000s, that was the heyday of prosperity preaching. When all those who had not jumped aboard earlier on in this further riches, that is not Lagos, now jumped aboard. All round, the prosperity bug grabbed, gutted, snagged, hooked them. And I saw it and I went like, so I never believed it. Even when I was listening to preachers that were preaching so-called prosperity, I didn't agree. When, by listening, I wasn't listening to their messages as much as I was in a church where different preachers would come. So they'll preach. When they get to the end, they'll now make whatever they preach a matter of cash. If you want to partake in this thing, take a seat. There's a special anointing. Those that can give, understand this way. Buying, so you're buying. Is that not what Simon the sorcerer did, that Jesus rebuked him? Well, since you've chosen to ignore the story, thank God I can read. I read the story. I will not partake in that. No, I didn't have money. I was a student. I was a young person. But even then, I would just give the offering I would give. If I want to give extra, I give. It has nothing to do. No, do I believe that lie you're telling at all? You're going to be telling lies like that. So all the poor people Jesus preached to, they paid for it. Brother or sister, whoever asked this question, I would advise you, and I'm very sincere, don't be ignoring clear examples and sticking to what you hold on to. You heard what I said earlier on. I'm easily convinced. I hear something, I move on. My convictions are very deep when I already have scripture support. God does not call you to be rich. Paul says, I've learned how to abase and to abound. Abase means be poor. Abound means to be rich. And then he said, I can do all things. I can do either through Christ's strength. Then Paul clearly speaks to those that are rich in this world in the book of 1 Timothy 6. And I've preached so many times about riches. Please go and listen to it. As for, you should have not less than 25 messages where I preach on money, riches. Get the core, maybe 3, 4, 5. Listen to them, all right? But don't ignore when you're giving illustrations. I gave you an illustration of Job. You still went on to ask, what is the about this in relation to your interpretation? Look at how you said it. Say your interpretation. You saw Job. You saw God make him poor. You still said your interpretation. So that's how your heart begins to push away truth. And if the Holy Spirit came to say, come, let me teach you, after a while, he says, leave him. It's not my interpretation. Abraham said, I don't want you to say, king of Sodom, that I have made Abraham rich. Have you not read it? So who made Abraham rich? The Bible tells you that Abraham traveled to Egypt and Abraham grew and became rich in. And then we began reading Ecclesiastes. Oh God, you never finished reading Ecclesiastes, oh. Where he said clearly, who saw that he said that wealth does not, that bread doesn't come to the wise necessarily. And wealth does not come to the intelligent. Nor favor to the skillful. Everyone read the last line. For time and chance happen to all. So what is that thing you believe that is a man's gift that makes room for him? Did you read Ecclesiastes 9:11? Ecclesiastes 9:11 says that wealth doesn't come to the intelligent. That means all your efforts to educate yourself into wealth, which you have been taught. That's why I brought you to Brother Solomon. Is it not why we came to Brother Solomon? I brought him to teach you. I said, even if you can't believe me and you say he doesn't have money, I brought you to a super rich man. Solomon says that wealth doesn't come to the intelligent. So what are you saying? And what have you been saying? All those your books, all those your wealth conferences you attend. Go and find all the people that attended your wealth conferences. Go and find and see all of them are wealthy. I told you how wealth comes to many people. I've thought on these things. You must be a visitor, I forgive you. Wealth comes to people through time and chance. Example, my father was a commissioner many years ago. Hello? Yes. Early days of phone. Mobil. Exxon Mobil. It was only Mobil oil producer at the time. And they were telling the commissioner for Agric that they want to sponsor someone to go abroad and do masters. They're of course talking to the commissioner for the Agric in the state. And he's answering them. And telling them, okay, I'll send you a name. Everything was in a hurry. What happens as my dad ends the call? I'm sitting, I'm there by him. And he's, Kai, whose name should I give? How many of you know that whoever I speak, sent by Mobil to the United States of America to go and do a master's program in agriculture, that he will be more comfortable than his mates that he graduated with? The problem now is that the name, the person that will go is whoever my father will give his name. And I called the name of one person I knew that was from our village site. That was it. And my father said, no. How many of you know that guy just went from possible riches to back to exactly how it was? With a thought, whatever the thought was. Now, whoever he eventually picked, you're telling me it's because the person was so bright or so... Maybe you have not seen how life works yet. Who has seen how life works? Random. Who knows what time and chance is? Come here. Who is that? Come. Who is that? Hello. What's your name? Are you from this Akwa Ibom state? Put your name there. So there's a list of people they want to give scholarship. They don't have enough names. They've written all their relatives' names and you passed. They need it to be 40 names. They have only 38. Put your name. Do you have any of your... Add your name. Who knows people's lives have changed like that? What is that? Wealth, principles of wealth. No, it's called time and chance. Let me use the church version. Let me look for a simple one. The other one involved millions. I don't want to tell it. Okay. One of the first times or the second times I was preaching, 2016 or 17, in the parlor. We're still meeting in the parlor before the warehouse. And I'm saying this thing. I said, you reach it. You did. Okay, do you want to see if God can give... See, you can use anointing to do all sorts of things. Oh yeah, watch. Father, I'm asking, release money. I am not talking about your expected income. Money you don't expect. Significant, I don't mean 100 natural. Father, I'm asking for a release. I didn't say this long. This is too long. I'm explaining. I'm asking that you release it. So you guys will know what you don't... I was trying to tell them, you've been with me for months, for a long time or years. I'm sure your head, in classic human being, say, no, this one's gift is this. This one, I know they are different gifts, but I don't think you guys understand how anointing works. Father, I'm asking that you give them money, shock them with totally unexpected money in Jesus' name. Amen. That was the end of the meeting. I've done that twice or thrice in 7 years. The only reason I did it was for educational purposes only. As they left there, the same thing that has happened. The only time, 2021, was it? 21 or 22? Where I stood here. And I said, after 22, right? I did it maybe for the second or third time in 7 years, old, just because I've told you too many unbelievers come to church. So I said, Father, I'm asking for Now, that 2022 date was the first time I said, okay, watch something. If you were amongst those that had money, totally unexpected, after I prayed that prayer, come out. They came out. First time ever, they gave the mic. I said, how much do you get? It ranged from, these are students, it ranged from 20 to 30,000 to 250,000 naira of unexpected. Do you understand what unexpected money is? This is not your weekly allowance. You get a woof 250,000, a student. You were here now. You were here. That's the first time I asked. Other times people said, I never asked. I'm not interested. I don't say pay your title. I don't say how much was it. What's my business? That wasn't the purpose of. Now that's different from what happened last week where I said that the Lord is going to give favor and there will be all sorts of surprises. How many people raised their hand? Said yesterday. 25. Both or 25. Nearly 40 people. Now, those are the people that were here and in the other room, not the people online. Hear me. Whoever asked that question, which principle of wealth is that? Which principle of wealth makes a man of God stand and say, Father, I ask, shock them. Give them, just make them happy. And then they suddenly start having tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands enter their bank account unexpectedly. Which principle? That is time and chance that you were in the meeting. That there was a chance that I happened to say, okay, let this happen. Now, if I didn't want it to happen, if I didn't say it, now did God lead me? I hope so. But I think I could do that a lot. I think I could do it in every meeting. And I've told you from the first time I did it, I said, this is how anointing is abused. And I've told you it is wrong. That is, after I do it, I just do it to let you understand how anointing can be used. And anointing is like a spiritual, I don't know how to say it. You can use it to do bad things. You can curse someone. And bad things happen to them. When I was teaching our sisters at Dresswell, and I said, hey, some of you don't hear what? You keep wearing tight clothes. Your clothes will tear in public. How many days? In another state, one of our sisters, she heard the message. What tight stuff? She was walking around with her pants showing. She had, what? When someone showed her, she said she wanted to die. I don't know what tore it, but it tore. And I think she said she had thought that morning, she was wearing, said, this clothes is too tight. Okay, maybe later, just the normal thing. But unfortunately, for the first time, my mouth had said that your clothes would tear. Now, not to her. I threw it out. I said, you should know better. Your clothes would tear. It tore. That's how giftings and graces work. They can be used to tear lions. Samson, or they can be used to fight after leaving the house of a prostitute. The same anointing. What were you doing in the house of the prostitute? That's a different matter. The anointing is there. So you can abuse it. There are people with prophetic giftings that have used their prophetic giftings to sleep with people left, right, and center. You cannot believe. Come here, young lady, and they start talking. They lay out your life. You think you should do anything they say because there's unction. Because you don't understand how unction works. Unction is like perfume. You can rub it on anything. It will smell nice. Are you understanding? If you rub perfume on anything, that thing will smell like the perfume. So you take your... I rub someone. It will have an impact. If it's there, there are people that have nothing. They are just shouting. But if it's there, you can twist it left, right, center. You can take unction and convert it into popularity and fame. Thoroughly. and you get popularity and fame. That's what many preachers have done. They took their calling. Have I not? I told you years ago, who did I hear repeat this thing after that? I told you years ago, I heard it recently. Some other preacher said it. I told you many of the biggest churches you have are headed by evangelists. Very wrong. Now, you don't understand. So you say, God knows. Evangelist's job is to go and catch fish and bring them in to be cleaned. Evangelists do not stay. They go. When you have evangelists staying, the people come to them because the unction of an evangelist pulls people to them. You didn't hear me. Or you don't like what I'm saying. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. An evangelist unction drags people. Drop an evangelist in a place. The meetings will be very colorful, very interesting. There will be healings. Different things will happen. People will come in massive numbers. They will fill the place. They will grow. And people will say, he's doing well. And heaven is frowning. Because he's not doing well. That's not his calling. He's supposed to spend 1 week here. Then go to another place and spend 1 week. Then go to another place and spend 1 week. Then go to another place and spend 1 week. And in all those places, to bring people to Jesus. He stays in one place. And all the people in all those other places that were to come to Jesus don't come. All the healing grace and unction is being squandered on born-again Christians. Who are the hardest people to receive miracles, by the way. You want to see gift, you have to go out into the darkness. Carry a candle into darkness. You're a power. Stay where there's light. Small power. I'm explaining an evangelist. The complete opposite is for a teacher. For a pastor. A pastor goes with the grace of God that moves on him. He carries it to room around. He falls flat like a pancake. Because what are you doing here? With whom have you left those few sheep? Your unction is for staying. His unction is for going. But you can misuse that unction. Can be a traveling teacher going around impressing, doing your best to market yourself, and you're here. When you start with awesome stuff. Hit them, bam, 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 bam. They're like, wow. People are standing everywhere with their hands on their head, shaking. Heaven is frowning. What are you doing here? I didn't send you here. Why did you sell yourself? Why did you market? What are you doing here? You see, what happens to many preachers? I know preachers don't like us talking like this, but I don't work for them. You have to know these things because this will be the portion of most of you. If you don't know it or accept it now, it doesn't go into your heart and soul. You go and practice this very thing. When you practice this thing, it will result in your pleasing men, but displeasing God. Is that okay? Matthew 6:19-20, they use it to teach me to give God money. Like deposit in a heavenly bank account that will suffer no loss. When I needed money, I only had to withdraw from what I deposited in heaven. If I gave nothing, I'd have nothing. What then are the actual treasures referred to in this scripture? Matthew 6:19-20. What are the actual treasures? Do not store for yourself treasures on earth. Moth and rust destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourself treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust do not destroy. And where thieves do not break in and steal. What's the answer to your question? The answer to your question is that you store up treasure. And how do you store it up? What's your question? Did he ask how to store it up? So how did it work for you? The way it works, the answer to this is in Luke chapter 12, verse 31, 2. This same story. Start from verse 31. But seek his kingdom and these things will be added unto you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide yourself with purses that will not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Is that the same point? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Have you seen it?
Yes,
sir. Is that the same point here in Luke? Who was he talking to? His flock. He called them little flock. What does this mean? He told you how to store it. Matthew did not point out how to store it. Luke tells you how to store it. Verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. I agree with you. But I don't know if... Yeah, when you have need on earth, you ask God. That's it. But how you store is the real question. What do you see? How do you store?
By giving
to the poor. When you ask, therefore, is this how I was taught to give God money? Do you give it through the poor, or you gave it to a man of God with a convoy of cars? So it is true if you gave it to God, and the wahala is that God usually collects it through the poor. That's where you have a problem, because the typical Pentecostal does not think like this. Now, I explained earlier on, in the early church, they brought whatever they had and laid it at the feet of the apostles, the church. By apostles, it just meant the church leadership in Jerusalem. And they took and gave to everyone according to their need. Now, most church leaders do not operate like that. Whatever comes, they take it and own it. When you find a church that practices biblical money management, that's a very good place to give a lot. I thought I said a little of this earlier on. I'll presume the person that I asked that question did not hear it. So have a practice of giving in congregations that actually use the money to care for the needy. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 tell you this. But if you give to men of God because they claim that they have an anointing, a special anointing. Is that the normal teaching? That there's a special anointing people have, that when people give, they receive a grace to make one. You have entered fraud, the hands of frauds. I don't care who preached it. They are lying. I'm not saying they did not pray for people and the people had supernatural income at some time. I just gave you examples in my own life. But I've told you it's a function of misusing unction. You can pray for someone in trouble. Someone came to me and said, the money I had earlier on, I gave it to God. And the money finished like that. I did what was needful first. I looked at the person and tried to make sure their heart was in the right place. Their heart was not in a very right place. They had to repent. So I said, so did you give to God to get back? The person said, or something. I said, repent, pray. The person prayed. I finished praying. Then I told the person, as the person stood up to go, was sitting down, I think I raised some other things. Then I said, it's okay, God will give you back. Many times more. I can't remember. It's the person that told me later that I said within the year or something. Because when it happened, I could not believe it. I didn't even remember. Just typical how my life is. The person said, you said this. I said, I did. Yeah. The person received... I can't remember how, almost, is it 10 times more? It was in millions. It was so much money, you don't want to know. That's the first time I'm even telling a part of the story. I didn't even want to tell you. So I should convert that and go around and say, I have an unction. Don't come here, you'll be hungry. God will make sure I will never do that thing for you. Don't come here for greed. Now that's me, this is not someone said this and that. This is me as I am, so. God can do anything. This is not an old person. This is a young person. God can do anything. It's because people don't know God. That's why you want to store up endlessly. Because you don't know God. Because you know your own God, tomorrow you'll be missing. He'll abandon you, so you'll not find him. That's why you have to secure your future. No. But God is good and he's kind and he's available all the time to those who fear him. Okay? So, brother or sister, whoever asked that question, it is giving, oh God, you haven't given me the passage in Acts. They brought it to the feet of the church leadership, the apostles. There were no needy people. They would bring it and give. And the Bible says the apostles would take it and give to those who had need. Verse 35, Acts 4, 35 and 35. That is how the church was to be taken care of. But you know the challenge today? So the typical servant of God in charge, or servants of God in charge, they say, this is offering. This one is offering. This one is the tithe. This one is for me. This one is for that. This one is for this. This one is church welfare. Once church welfare money finishes, it has finished. Sorry. We'll put you on the list for the next, maybe in 3 months' time, we'll give you. Who has heard this before? Does it mean nobody will give offering or anything before 3 months? Mm-mm. That one goes to the pastor. This one goes to headquarters. This one goes to... So the church is in trouble. Everybody's hungry. Not everybody, many people. Things are not okay because the order is wrong. Now, be careful how much you give in such places, because a lot of that money didn't go to God. Why? It didn't go to the poor. Am I clear or am I confusing you? Who did God say you should give money to, and then you're opening a purse account in heaven? He said the poor. He was clear. How did I know it? I read my Bible now. I was not taught. I read my Bible and took notes. I compared scripture with scripture. The conclusion came out like that. I looked for the examples under Paul's ministry, Peter, John. You go and visit all of them. See what they practice. It's the same. They collected offerings and took it and went and gave to the poor in Judea. You don't hold on to an opinion because this is the error you have been taught. On the day of judgment, God will not use your pastor's book on wealth creation. He will use the scriptures to judge you. Is this clear? I hope this is final. Final. Concerning... Take it away. I hope there's no other question. People are hungry. You're talking about crayfish and money. You don't have a pastor's heart. Sorry, my people. Some of you are so hungry, you didn't even see the question. You can't even lift your eyes to look at. Why are they laughing? Don't worry, we'll be gone by 6. So when you go, say we had prayer and fasting. Didn't we pray?
We pray.
Have you not fasted?
We fasted.
What do you call prayer and fasting? Prayer and fasting. It doesn't have to be announced ahead. Whether it was announced before, at the end, it's the same event. May you receive wisdom. You guys have religious spirit has finished you. So we prayed for hours and we fasted for hours, and then there was a meal of the word. You are so blessed. All right. So those that are part of this house, this church group, members of this church, remember what I said? By next week, you have to return to the normal format and you will not be here. So this is not a normal meeting. Let me explain to those that are visiting. You know, we've been having meetings for 20 something days on and off. So this would be like, let's say, capping off of all those meetings in the tabernacle season. And the Lord has been good. And as much as if we had the time, all that, and I started saying people should share some of the revelations that came while we were praying in the earlier hours, you hear all sorts of things. Maybe when you come, maybe on Wednesday, Friday, maybe we'll share some of them, some of the things the Lord has spoken. If you hear them, I'm sure you'll be impressed by the Spirit speaking and the Spirit of revelation. But we are not here to impress you. We are here to encourage you to do whatever God says. That's all that matters. We already prayed for a long time before now. But I am asking all of you, please, all these words can be a blessing to you or a source of judgment. Please, let it not be a source of judgment. I pray for myself, not just for you. I pray that I am able to do the things I hear and preach. Because if you don't do them, God doesn't come to you and say, well, I know you used to talk about it. It doesn't matter that you talked about it. What matters? Did you do it? The wise man and the foolish man. The foolish man is the one who heard the words but did not do them. The wise man is the one who heard them and did them. Matthew chapter 7. You need to hear and you must do. So don't leave here and go and say, oh yeah, well, I've heard him. But again, that's it. Like one man said, well, it's okay. Yeah, he has grace pastor has grace to on holiness, righteousness, very good. But you know, he has not ascended to the higher levels on wealth. If I was speaking to pastor, I would have said, no, you want to say mammon. I think you mixed up words. And mammon is a demon. The money deity. It's worship. It's the closest thing to it in Israel is Baal. So all over the body of Christ are shrines to Baal. They call it prosperity. They don't even know. Majority have no clue. As sincere as many of you are, you have no clue. They're like, no, what are you saying now? But the man of God said, your man of God, many of them, they don't know it. They are priests of Baal. You haven't read your Bible. You've refused to read Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You think that to worship these other gods, you must go to the bush. The Bible tells you it was in the temple of God Almighty. They were worshiping them. But, oh no, it's the Old Testament. We are not to read it. So won't you read the new? Okay, what about Jesus? Can you read Jesus in Revelation 23? Jesus said, they are a synagogue of Satan. If you don't know what a synagogue represents, it's a church. The equivalent of what we call a church congregation. He called them a congregation of Satan. And it was a church. Why would Jesus talk like that if it's not true? And he said he was going to come and judge them. He said they claim to be Jews, that's children of God, but are liars instead. And you believe everyone that stands and holds a mic and says, praise the Lord. You think they are Christians. They are servants of God. No, some are liars. Now, if your life is ruled by lies, if you know the truth and the truth sets you free, what happens when you know a lie? So your life continues in bondage. All that prayer we prayed at the beginning. Did you hear when? I know some of you are wondering. We prayed small, but I didn't hear some of these prayers. I sang it. You pray, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It was normal. It has been, a lot of the church have lost it too. They don't know it. When they say, no, if you want to sing, sing. If you want to pray, pray. Shh. They used to, the biggest prayer book in the Bible is called the Psalms. It is a collection of songs. All of them were sung to the, to instruments. So we were praying. So if you were not saying amen, not paying attention, wondering when would they finish singing, you missed the prayer session. You see how why ignorance is so bad? And you too have told in your personal life, all of you that prayer is boring, let me help you. Sing it. Jesus, good morning. I have come to seek your face. Jesus, help me to find and know daily your ways. Don't rhyme. You can't. You won't be able to rhyme. Forget the rhyme. Say it anyhow. Use a tune. You are the Lord. I have come to you. Sing it. You will pray. It's biblical. It's not a matter of, that's a style. Do it. Your prayer life will come alive. Are you hearing? I'm almost, and it keeps coming. I'm almost hearing how you struggle with your prayer life. Okay, I'll pray for you. Stand to your feet. You strong with your prayer life? Raise your hand. Personal prayer life, I mean. Put your hands like this. Put it on your head. Father, I ask for a spirit of prayer and supplication to rest upon these ones. In the name of Jesus. Father, you see them. Father, we have come. We came. We stayed in your face. I ask for a release of grace.
Amen.
Father, you promise that you give favor to the humble. Look at the humility this one's exercised in being here. Please release grace.
Amen.
Some of you wake up to songs, not from this realm. You hear songs from the other side. You wake up with it. Sometimes, I pray you don't lose it. But you wake up, you hear music. You come out of it, you'll be singing. Then you wake up with it. It will be music from heaven. Sounds from heaven. Father, I ask that this be released.
Amen.
Even to those who don't believe, shock them. Music from heaven, music from above, music from the Father, showering down His love. Father God, give them songs that they can appear before you with.
Amen.
I'm asking that you go with them.
Amen.
I ask that you teach them your ways.
Amen.
Bless them for their obedience. Bless them for their obedience. Kabra papata ligado shikemba dada ke la papretu sikelebanda. Fires that were almost gone out, I ask for your breath to blow upon it now.
Amen.
Breath of God, blow upon it now.
Amen.
Breath of God, powerfully. Lebeke brekete sike brandubu supreketela. Breath of God. Breath of God. Lepekira bashate kadaga. Embrebo sibre ketele borobo shite ligadasa. Shi parabarabakunde bravasita. It's the breath of Jesus. Spirit of love, it's breath of the Father, it's coming from above. It's the sounds of heaven, sounds of Jesus. It's coming like a whirlwind. It's come to save us. Kind God. Father, ask that that fire be kindled upon that head that is like a dead hurt. You know, a place where the fire had gone out. Ashes and wood. Father, ask for a restocking of embers right now. I ask for firewood to be added. Wood. Father, I ask. Let the fire fall on that place. Rest, Lord God. Rest, Lord God. Rest, Lord God. And that person in the space where my voice is heard. Good God, because you are good. That's enough reason, because you're good. In addition to that, Father, I spoke to them about the battles that are coming. I spoke to them about the need to join the army, not be a church attender, but to be willing to endure hardship. And endure and learn to fight for Jesus. And there are some here that are saying, Lord, I don't mind. I would like to join your army. Rekete laba sito. Kerebaraba sito laba sito. So I'm asking, in addition to any and everything else, specifically for the host of heaven. Huh? Now, the only reason, so some of you are going to, your eyes will be open and you see angels. Not later, but now. And the reason is, it will be just a little confidence boost. But also, so you know, we are not alone. And because it's also an area where you must get accustomed to, you must understand the spirit realm is real. And it's amongst us. Hey. So I'm going to ask for your eyes to be open. Father, I'm asking. Those who were called, those who were chosen, and not just any angels, the angels that are with us. Angels that they will serve with. May their eyes be open. Show them. Show them the company we keep. Show them the warrior angels that accompany the army of God. You're not alone. You are not alone. Don't be afraid. Whatever you see, veils fall off. Scales fall off. Kereba kati lata. Meto si kelete la basunda. Ekorabati sa telagosha. I serve on every eye. Kereba pari dali sotale. Kerebote. I take away your layers of flesh. See and believe. Mareboraba. Do not doubt. La kebrobo sito kambi pati logadika. Ekropati. Natrico prikenda sito kambrabataya. Welcome armies of the Lord of hosts. Kerebaraba telaba. Oh yes, you will believe. Kerebabi araba sindu brede sati lagati. La simbre peteko ba ushikareba badaya. You are not supposed to be afraid, except you don't want to see anything. Father, show them, not just the now, even the future. I'm asking specifically for some here. You're going to fight in faraway places in the spirit. You won't be alone. Come, angels of the Lord, show yourself to your people. Father, show them to your people. Answer that prayer, Lord. Answer that prayer. Answer that prayer. Answer that prayer. Answer that prayer. Bakela sita kubadaka de pura patandedaya. Ekru patindu brate secum brabadasa. In their glory. Kerebo prekenda di sito la ta 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 ligadumba digadaya. With the authority, and I'm asking for a glimpse in addition to this, a glimpse of the places they will fight for the king. Give them a glimpse of the future. Make known, it's the trumpet of war. The war has not begun, but we are sounding an alarm. Make no telepere satata. Nations, kingdoms, tribes, kerebata ligoda sata. Places, cities, kere parabaraba. See, 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 assignments, scrolls, responsibilities, be released. Good. So don't wait till you fall. If you feel the power of God come upon you, just go down like that. Some of you, that's the right thing to go down. Karibala si to kaye. Asimbratali gadushata. Some of you are saying, okay, yeah, but I need an anointing. Yes, there are doses, there are levels of anointing. David was anointed 3 times. Some of you are going to receive an initial anointing right now. For the work of ministry. Upon your heads, fresh oil. It's for the duties, for the work. It's not for jokes. It's not for fun. It's not for money. It's not for worldliness. It is to open your mouth and speak the counsel of Adonai. Right now. Some of you need to close your eyes just for 2 minutes. For 10 seconds. Close your eyes everywhere. Fresh oil. From your head down. Flow. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. E prado sate la gutate akrata sindo badoshate andaligadisi piridolo simbadosha. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because He has anointed you to preach good news. It's a season to preach. All of you, listen carefully. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because He has anointed you to preach good news. He has sent you to the poor. This is the year to bind up the brokenhearted. This is the day to bring freedom to the captives. This is the year. And to release the ones in darkness. This is the year of the favor of our God. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. Vengeance against His enemies, the camp of darkness. This is why the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you, right in your rooms and your houses, because He has anointed you to preach good news. Whatever He saved you from, His goodness and kindness to you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. Upon us all. Oh, because He has anointed us to preach good news. Oh, yes, He has. He has sent us to the poor. Say, this is the year. This is the year. To bind up the brokenhearted. This is the day. To bring Freedom to the captives. This is the year. And to release the ones in darkness. Wherever you go, can you everybody say, this is the year of the favor of our Lord, of the favor of the Lord. This is the day of the vengeance, of the vengeance of our God. This is the year of the favor. Open your mouth and say, this is the day of the vengeance of our God, of the vengeance of our God. Oh, one more time. This is the year. Everybody say, this is the year of the favor of the Lord. Shout it aloud. This is the day of the vengeance of our God. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. Of our God. Oh. Remember, it's vengeance against his enemies. Listen, this is a wrong time to be on the wrong side. The favor of the Lord is available in ways that many of you have never seen or known. You won't even believe it. Thank you, good Father. I'm asking for a release of that favor right now. Right where they are. Right where they are. In whatever form, whatever kind of favor they need. Some of you, it's gifts of the Spirit. Prophetic gifts, kelembraba supre ketando badi shate la gadaya. Healing gifts, kerebu pringelege brabu sapra patali gadu sandeda. Utterance gifts, kelembraba shimbro botusi kumbraba la patandi gadu sa. Elo kunge gasi ko la patika te. With the healing comes faith and miracles of sorts. Utterance comes words, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And with the healing, with revelatory gifts comes, you know, the prophecies, the discernment of spirit. It's a good time to learn so you will know how to manage the experiences and revelations God brings to you. Father, ask for grace to be good custodians as I teach us to march with others and fight with others. Oh, yes, mighty God. May we be safe users of the power of God. May the authority that we have been taught or that we will learn may be used appropriately. Teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Teach us to walk with the heavenly host. Not to walk against them or run away from them, but to walk with. In dreams, angels will come. Angels will come. Let the door be open, Lord God, to the promise, the portion of this house. To the portion of this house, the portion of angels assigned to assist everyone in this house, in person, in spirit. Let them be released. Father, may the door stay open until we have enough. They are not birds. They may look like birds. Oh, dear angels. Angels of the Lord, distance. When the distance is covered, you see clearly. They are the mighty angels of our God. God God's watching us. He cares for you. But he doesn't want babies forever. He wants warriors. The training is not for nothing. The training is for warfare. The training is for warfare. What must you do? Faithful. Stand at your post. Do whatever you are told to do. That's all. Lekum bra 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 shita la bra bra bra. Lord, help us beyond the ways we've ever thought of.
Amen.
Teach us to wield the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. Lord, make ready those that are not ready. Cleansing through your mind like a sword. Split. Trash lodged between the synapses of your brain. Be dislodged now.
Amen.
Father, I ask for a violent extraction.
Amen.
Lord, no soft touch, no. Kerebaka taketoka. Extract in Jesus' name. Nepongreba tisita. Nedo paketoka. Solid as an end. I decree an end now. Rabakirobata, no harm to your brain. Lepronde de shikotaka. Ekrombatila simbreba. All you slivers of filth and trash. Leave in Jesus' name. Leketeka rubarabaraba. Ekroba simbre peteli gedo sitalaga. Ropram barabarabara. I read you by the power of Jesus. Lord, may your angels draw it out. Those strings, those kareba tielando simbre barabarabara. As for replacement synapses. Replace. Lord, there's not time. For many years of process. Now, Lord. Whether they know or not. Now, Lord. Layers. Peel it off in the name of Jesus. A new brain. Pure strands. Brand new from the resources of heaven. Leken gregede sumbraba. Synapses running through your mind that are pure, free of that, all that, those particles you picked up. Leken negede through life. Cleansing power of the living water of the Most High God flow through you, be part of you. Let the cleansing power of the living water of the
Lord flow through every part of me.
Oh, let the cleansing power of the living water of the Most High God flow through every part of me. One more time. Let the cleansing power of the living water of the Lord flow through every part of me. Gilebando, let the cleansing power of the living water of the Most High God flow through every part of me.
Clean, or less and blameless until the coming of the Lord. I want to be pure and clean, clean and blameless as I await the coming of the Lord. When my eyes behold the beauty of His face, I will be turned to be like Him. So let the cleansing power of the living water of the Lord flow through every part of me. Oh, let the cleansing power of the living water of the Most High God flow through every part of me.
Heavenly Father, I ask that this river will carry us and will run through us too. Let there be a power on our lips that when we open our mouth, it will shoot forth and it will cut people loose.
Amen.
Like we have never seen before.
Amen.
People will come and say, I want to get saved. You'll be confused. When did I preach to you? Oh, you want? Lift your hands. Father God, release a spirit of conviction. Turn men from sin. Turn men from sin. Turn men from sin. Save them. Save them. Save them. Save them. Oh my God. May we be vessels unto honor in your hand. Guide our feet. Give us authority. Give us boldness. Give us passion.
Amen.
Let the only fear we have be your fear.
Amen.
Ah, let the only fear we have be the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Let your flame burn on us continually.
Amen.
Let nothing put it out. Help us have a steady replacement of oil.
Amen.
Let us be sons of oil.
Amen.
May your word be accompanied with signs,
Amen.
Wonders,
Amen.
Miracles,
Amen.
And gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Confirm your counsel, O Lord our God.
Amen.
Let us have a story to tell.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
The story of your goodness, the story of your love, the story of your salvation, the story of your power.
Amen.
Use us, O Lord God. May we help our brethren keep burning themselves.
Amen.
And every plan of Jezebel, every working of darkness fell.
Amen.
Fell in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everything we have ingested or believed from you, we cast it out right now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We reject all that you offer.
Amen.
Come on, you need to say that yourself. Say, Jezebel.
Jezebel.
I reject all that you offer.
I reject all that you offer.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Say,
Amen.
Say, Lord.
Lord.
Purge me completely.
Purge me completely.
Of her delicacies.
Of her delicacies.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Finally, say, Lord,
Lord,
help me to get others purged.
Help me to get others purged.
As you have done for us.
As you have done for us.
Do for others.
Do for others.
Through us.
Through us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
May the enemy never find opportunity to gloat over you.
Amen.
May he not gloat over us.
Amen.
May the bonds and the chains stay on the ground.
Amen.
I ask Father God for physical hindrances. Physical hindrances. Bone problems be healed. Bone problems be healed. Bone problems be healed. Sight problems be healed.
Amen.
Ear problems be healed. Lapako preta liga shi da teka. Ekruba supri palanda da si tuba kubreba sinadaya. Stomach problems be healed. La kubri kete lebushi de de kubraba sunde da kali badusa. Long problems be healed. Le kebre pete le gadoshim brebete le gunda si torabataka. Mouth problems be healed. La pasi prepete le gadishita. Tongues be loosened. And everyone that's not filled with the Holy Spirit, because you need the power of the Holy Spirit, be filled in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Breath of God, fill them up. To the overflowing. Right there in your house. To the overflowing. Drill down, Lord God. Drill down, drill down, drill down. Jesus, burst forth. Kebaku yata. Repata ke tola di asata. Eprata ti logoshi. Ni parita ligore kende pregedesi. Libre peto sinde dea kuli asata. Rabakataka yatu simbrabadaya. Rise, O Lord. Let the things that stood between your people and destiny be moved out now.
Amen.
No more. No more. In normal life, no more. Shine bright. Shine strong. Blaze for Jesus. And bring more to join his army. Soldiers, gather soldiers. Be a disciple so you can disciple. Receive grace to be a disciple so you can disciple.
Amen.
Turn them to you on every side. You are not called to live a normal, ordinary, mundane, boring life. You are to cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Stand in the gap. Coming and going, carried on the winds of the eagle. This is the time. Bless them. Father, bless them, I say, go. Give them peace. Forgive the sinner. Purge the sinner of sin because they came and stood and stayed. Purge the sinner. This handwriting against you. Kereba pali ba shido do sipritela daka. E prambura ke la bashateka. You can't bluff your way out of the legal quality of sin. Only a legal response is sufficient. Father, I ask that the blood of Jesus remit. Everyone you've chosen now, remit, 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 remit. Let this accusation be scrubbed. Because you are merciful, you are powerful, you are God. And by the authority you've given me, I remit sins that stand in the way of obedience and fulfillment. Be remitted now. In Jesus' name. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to your house. Peace to you. Peace to you. Shalom. Peace be with you. Those nightmares end.
Amen.
La bagadego bagadiga la situkere barato sete kanda. Can be running around at night. La pakibre do supreketaki ashataka. Eto lagi shata. We lie down at night, you sleep. I rebuke you, spirit. May the power of God, the angel of the Lord, pursue you, wicked spirit. Walk of witchcraft. Witchcraft. Walk of witchcraft. Be shattered. I set you on fire. I call down fire on the workings of witchcraft. Burn, 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 burn. How dare you? It's under the protection of the Almighty. Oh, who ran to the name of Jesus and was not saved? No one. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous running and are saved. You're righteous by the blood of Jesus. You're righteous by the company which you are with. You are safe in Jesus' name.
Amen. In this place, the cherubim and seraphim bow down low before the one who's supreme. And nothing down here can be truly dim. Important before the one who's our Elohim.
In this place,
in this place, the cherubim and seraphim,
everyone,
bow down low before the one who's supreme. And nothing down here can be truly dim. Important before the one who's our Elohim.
Holy,
holy, holy are you, Lord. And say, worthy of glory and full of power. All of creation will bow this hour. Singing, holy.
Thank you, Lord God. You're the Holy God. I pray you go with your people. If you have an offering, you can take it. You can make a transfer to any of the accounts you see there. You want to give to the Lord. Just remember, always give from a good place, a good heart. You can give later. You can make a transfer if you can't give now. But let your heart be such as is open and willing at all times to do whatever you do as unto the Lord, not as unto men. If you maintain this policy, I think you'll be safe and fine. Mighty Father, I ask that you receive every gift. For everyone that has been given already, I ask that it be received for your glory and praise. Let your kingdom be extended. May we be good representatives of your kingdom. May we learn to fight according to the thing that way that pleases you. This is our prayer. Let us only fight according to the thing and the way that pleases you. May we use our finances only in a way that glorifies you. May we understand the kingdom and its righteousness. May we fight the good fight of faith. Rid us of every form of deception. Help us understand the kingdom we have been called to. Help us stand in the place you appointed. Give us the wisdom never to turn back. May we not put our hands to the plow and look back. May we be strong in righteousness. When we see you eventually, may we not have reason to be ashamed. Bless them, I say. Bless them this week. I ask that all needs be provided according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Protect your sheep. They are weak in the flesh, but you are strong. When they are weak, you said you would be strong. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.